PlayStation 4 Pro is officially unveiled, and Sony makes the case for 4K and HDR to gamers. Was it enough to convince you need one? We find out tonight on the show where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight, episode number 657 for this September the 11th of 2016. My name is Rob Roberts, joining you here in Studio N7 in Sacramento, California, here with you over the next few hours to talk about video games, gaming culture, and the gamer lifestyle. And with me in studio, as he always is, say hello to Techmaster Loki.
Hi.
Hi, Loki. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Happy birthday. Today is your birthday.
Thank you.
I know there's other historical events weighing heavy on people's mind today for good reason. And, you know, obviously our thoughts go out to those that are affected all these years later. But, you know, things go on and we still do our podcast and you still celebrate birthdays, which is today.
Yeah.
And what did you do to celebrate? How was your day?
Well,
this does not sound like a happy birthday.
Like to say I did something fun, but it really was just the wife was stressed out about the kids all day long, so she was in a really fantastic mood this morning. So I went out and got breakfast for her, and then we went grocery shopping, and the kids are just acting up like they usually do. And then we bought stuff to make food she wanted me to make, salmon Wellingtons, so I made salmon Wellingtons. And then she didn't want to buy this week for some reason the frozen macaroni or not macaroni cheese spaghetti and meat sauce for our kids because it has MSG in it. So I also had to make spaghetti with a meat sauce for 2 hours standing up. Didn't eat lunch. Felt like shit until I had some cereals so I wouldn't pass out from stress, which we'll get into a little bit. Why I'm so fucking stressed. And
I'm
then
worried about this. All right.
I mean, I guess we could talk about it now. Why not?
Why not? Let's talk briefly about why are you so stressed out? Do you need a hug?
Yeah. So here's what happened.
Yes, you need a hug.
No.
What happened?
So it's you know, obviously it's my birthday today, and yeah. So I typically every year, because I'm weird like this, I buy myself something for my birthday.
Why not?
Because everybody else uses the excuse all. I don't know what to get you know, whatever. So that's fine.
Well,
so,
I get myself awesome birthday presents. I treat myself the way I deserve to be treated.
Exactly.
I mean, my friends are very generous, too, but I know I'm going to buy
And just on a whim, and like, and I don't even know what prompted it. It was just like I was at work one day, and I was on a whim, and I was like, you know, I haven't checked eBay in a while. Because I used to go on eBay, and I used to go look at DDR stuff just for the hell of it.
Okay.
And this is where it started. So in Rancho Cordova, there was a guy selling a Technomotion machine for $99 starting. And I was like, holy shit, I'm never going to be able to find something this perfect.
I feel like I already know the punchline that's coming and I'm really worried. Oh, but go ahead.
No, it gets worse. Oh, it gets worse. I'm already upset about it. So anyways, like the whole week I'm stressing out, you know, I'm like, oh, should I, you know, I can't possibly do this. My wife would kill me if I, you know, got this. There's no way, you know. So we were just like at Best Buy yesterday because we went out to dinner because we have to kill time because the kids are there. And she's like, well, let's go get you something at Best Buy. I'm like, okay, we'll go walk around, look at stuff. And like, I didn't know what I really wanted. So I was like, whatever. And so I brought up, I'm like, well, you know, it'd be cool if I could get this, you know, this cabinet. I mean, it's really huge. And she's like constantly complaining and stressed out about how, you know, our house is a mess because there's just clutter everywhere.
Which happens when you have kids, but yeah.
And it's just like she wants to get rid of it. And I've already set up, you know, to throw away some of that. But I still wanted this cabinet and stuff. So like earlier today, I was talking with her about it. And I'm like, it was at that point, it was like up to, I think, $102.50 or something like that was what it was. Or, no, $205 is what it was sitting at. And it was sitting at that for a few days. And so I was like, okay. So I got to run this by the wife and see if I can get an okay. And if it's okay, maybe I'll try, you know, bidding on it. So reluctantly after, you know, she's very not happy with this idea. She's like, fine, whatever, just do whatever you want. And so, and then she finally kind of warmed up to it a little bit after she was like, you know, once she got in the car and drove away with the kids. So I got basically the green light to go ahead and bid on this.
Okay.
And I was going to basically cap it at about $300. I may have gone a little higher than that just to see if I could, you know, get it. So I'm getting everything ready. I've got my computer up on the eBay page, ready to go, and I'm putting away clothes and stuff, and I'm watching the clock, and the clock in our room's not right. So it's about 3 minutes before I need to get there. So I go into the living room. I notice the clock in the kitchen says it's 1 minute before, not 3 minutes before. It's supposed to, like, I look at my computer, it's 30 seconds before the auction ends. So I was like, oh shit, put in my bid, highest bidder. But the problem was I put it in about 10 seconds too early and got outbid.
Aww.
So I had it for $250. I had it for $250 for 10 seconds, and then I got outbid. And if I'd only fucking waited a few more seconds, I would have had a fucking DDR machine.
Aww.
Whatever.
Well, sorry to hear
it's so frustrating, but though.
I thought that's how I always thought eBay worked, like you're supposed to put in the most you're going to pay anyway.
No, it's bid sniping. It's always bid sniping. You always got a bid snipe.
I don't shop eBay now. I remember doing eBay.
But it was so perfect. Like, it was
cheap. I bought a
cheap
copy of Super Metroid on the Super Nintendo.
It was
from eBay.
Cheap. Like, and it was fucking local. Like, cheap and local. And it was a Technomotion machine. And the screen didn't, the monitor didn't work on it. Or it may have not worked. Something didn't work. Like, the hardware for the Technomotion didn't work. But it's a fucking Celeron PC, is basically what Technomotion is. It's a Celeron PC with an old ass video card. I'm like, that's fucking perfect. Just rip it out, throw a new PC in there, Stepmania, done. And then, you know, fix up the pads, you know, possibly put metal over the other pads. We're golden. It just wasn't to be, unfortunately. And it would have been so fucking perfect.
Well,
but I was so stressed out because I had to talk to my wife about it. And it's, you know, a big auction, and it's so stressed out.
Well, now, but now, okay, so you lost this one, okay, okay, sirrah, sirrah. But now, like, don't you kind of have, like, this pass? Like, don't you get to put that card in your pocket? Like, hey, honey, remember when you said I could get the machine?
No, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way at all. But it's fine, you know, because, like, we're throwing away stuff in the garage, and I got to move my arcade cabinet out there anyways because, you know, the kids in the originally, I wanted to, like, set up, you know, dance pads with it, but it would have been so perfect not having to build it, because it was the same price to build those pads as it is to buy a whole fucking machine. So yeah. It's like, you know, why not? I mean, I wouldn't have picked Technomotion as my first choice, but whatever. It's basically a DDR machine. So
some folks in our chat, now let me of course formally introduce the chat room. Hello, chatters. And you can chat along with our show live. We do tape live every Sunday night at the Voice of Geeks Network, VogNetwork.com. Live Sunday nights at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. And if you are listening live, participating with our show, you can join our chat over at live.vognetwork.com.
So real quick. So here's what it actually went for. So I bid $350.
Yeah.
Even though we agreed on $300, I still wanted to have a margin.
Okay, because some folks wanted to know, what does a little higher mean? So it was $50 more. Okay.
And I really should have counterbid, but who knows if I would have even won. It went for $366.
That's still not that much.
No, it's not.
Wow.
But whatever. I mean,
It's a copy of a copy.
But it doesn't matter. I wanted it for the hardware. I don't give a shit about
You deserve a prime DDR machine. You deserve something legit.
It's basically, the pads are exactly the same. You just, you know, cover up the other, you know, the other buttons.
All right. Tech 2030 in our chat wants to know a little more of the science of this thing. So if eBay automatically lets the highest bidder win at the end of the auction, how do you still snipe people?
Because what it is you put in basically, say someone wants to pay $250 for something. And yes, you could think, okay, $250 is all I can pay. You know, here's what I'm going to put in. But, you know, I would have paid, you know, a few extra. If I knew it was going to go for $366, I would put $367 in. I mean, obviously, that's what it would have done. And so it would have stated that, because, see, the problem was the person had time to respond to. He saw I got outbid, and he had time to put in another bid. The trick when an early bid on that stuff is you wait until, like, there's 10 seconds left, and there's no time. If you're lucky enough to be high enough, then you get it. and there's no time for them to
react. It's all some damn psychological game.
It is psychological.
You guys turned it into something way sicker. All right.
But that's how you get stuff for cheaper, though, because if you just put in, I want to pay $250 for it, then it's going to sit at $250 and someone's just going to pay $250.
But it's all psychological because you're like, $250 is the most I'm willing to pay. But then when you see somebody, some little fucker snipes you and gets $251, then you're like, well, shit, I'd pay $252. So, aha, $250 isn't the most you'd pay. You're actually willing to pay more. That's the psychological game, is
right.
How much are you willing to pay for this shit? How much are you really willing to pay for this? It's a sick game.
It is. But see, I'm out of practice. It's been at least a couple years since I've actually bit sniped somebody. So, and I was panicked because like I almost missed it. Because I was putting away clothes from the laundry. And I was like, shit, there's like 28 seconds left. I'm like, holy fuck, I'm glad I got here in time. And I was just like, I put stuff in. And I was like worried. Because sometimes you put in a bid, they're like, oh, please sign back in again, you know, because we need to make sure that you're signed in or some shit. And, you know, if that comes in there with 10 seconds left, it could fuck you with, you know, not being able to actually place a bid.
I do want to introduce our guest who's been sitting here very patiently listening to the horrors of your eBay day. But I do want to quickly acknowledge some folks may have forgot, where's Dark Sakura? Remember Dark Sakura, this is her first week of her hiatus from the show. She will be gone from the show for a couple of months due to an arrangement with her day job. She's just unable to make the show for a couple of months. However, we will be hearing her a little later on during the Classic Game of the Week through the Magic Radio. She will still be joining us every week for that. And she did confirm to me this week she got November 20th off so she can be here for episode 666. So at least she's making sure that the important stuff
hell
is
yeah.
covered. So yeah, that's right. Literally, hell yeah. So anyway, meanwhile, we have a guest here in studio with us, and it's a friend of the show who's been here a couple times before, but we're really excited to welcome him back. It's always a good time to welcome to the show Gabe from Nascent Games, creators of Crumple, Kinship, and whatever other projects this man takes on, because he does games like I do podcasts, and also involved with Sacramento IGDA. What's your role with Sac IGDA? Officially?
I'm the founder and chair of IGDA.
Yo, you're the grand poobah.
Yes,
basically,
sir.
you are Sac IGDA. Well, not, you know.
Well, I'm the face of IGDA Sacramento, and then I have my vice chair Brianna, who's the voice of IGDA Sacramento, because she's the vice chair.
That's a very good way of putting it, because I know Brianna works her little fanny off for IGDA. She does great work. And,
yeah, she does.
And hello, Brianna, if you're listening
out
there.
What up, Bri?
So I definitely want to talk to you a little bit about what's going on with Nascent Games and Crumple and all that. We're going to get to our kickoff topic first. I'm sure you have some things to say about this as well.
One or two.
Loki, let's talk about what Sony unveiled this week in our kickoff topic.
So Sony had their little press conference, if you will. It unveiled basically, hey, you know that PlayStation Slim that came out or that got leaked out and had reviewed and all that stuff? Yeah, it's real. Basically going to be replacing the PlayStation 4 that's available now. And I want to say that it was $299. And then they've got the PlayStation Pro, which is basically their PlayStation Neo. It's the what they're calling it now.
Sponsored by GameStop.
Well, it's fucking,
is it?
It's basically it's a
no,
page.
No, because that's just the first thing I thought of when they announced that. You know,
no,
because
it's
like, would you like a pro card instead? No,
that's a page out of Microsoft's playbook right there. You know, the Xbox Elite and the Xbox Pro system.
Okay.
And
everything is pro.
So, yeah,
I'm okay with the name. I didn't think it was actually going to be called Neo. I mean, these things.
It's basically
never do stick
it's $399. It's more powerful. It'll do, you know, it'll output to 4K, not natively. It'll up-res stuff, but it will be better looking than, you know, the other stuff is now, and will supposedly help enhance, you know. VR
you,
and stuff like
you,
that.
You, not even you can say it in a complete sentence without just like, you know, foaming at the mouth. And that's precisely how Sony sounded. So, because not even they can be
they just used a bunch of techno babble, which didn't really. No one gave a shit about it. It's just like kind of like, blah, 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 and he's like talking about like all this stuff and how they're going to. But at the end of the day, it's like, how much better are these games going to look?
They're
and
not.
A lot of these games are going to be supporting these enhancements, including, you know, starting off with like Call of Duty for like third party, like Call of Duty And even Black Ops 3 that came out last year will get a patch to support the higher resolution gameplay. So, I mean,
but will they be free?
Mm-mm.
Yes.
What?
I heard that some
yes,
publishers
they are gonna be free.
Okay, I heard somewhere there's a story out there somewhere that Sony's saying that publishers can essentially set whatever price they want for it. So.
No, they retracted that. So,
oh, okay. Well, that's good.
No, it won't be.
I think the first company to do it would have gotten a lot of internet BS. So,
yeah, I can see them doing that. Yeah,
yeah.
You know, it's going to be something that's going to be available coming out in October, and I'm not really interested in picking it up because I have a system already, and I don't own a 4K TV. Although I did look at 4K TVs yesterday because I was at Best Buy. And there's some pretty nice 4K TVs that aren't too expensive.
Mm-hmm. So, you know what caught my eye amongst that whole press conference was the fact that they actually showed the first Mass Effect Andromeda, like, in-game footage.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so that definitely had me laying on the couch going, oh. You know, like, because I love Mass Effect.
But I didn't know what any of it meant. It didn't look interesting at all, though.
I was living for it every minute. I was very happy. I was like, it's very pretty, and oh my god, and they're purposely obscuring some of the characters and so forth.
Definitely.
But I thought it looked great, and so I'm certainly sitting there going, okay, well, if Andromeda is going to look better on a Pro, maybe I do need to get a PlayStation 4 Pro. But now, here's where I'm stuck now, is because, okay, yes, these games like Final Fantasy 15, even, I think they showed the sizzle footage. You know, there's a lot of games coming up that people are very hyped for that will supposedly look better on the Pro. But then I worry, my television, even though I bought it last year, is a 2014 model. It doesn't do 4K, and I don't think it does this other coloring
HDR
stuff they were talking about. So am I going to get any benefit from the PlayStation Pro? And I kind of feel like that message was garbled. Like, I know they said, oh, yes, conventional TVs will also see a benefit, but
yeah,
I feel
because
like that was lost.
The way they say, because downsampling, I think, is what they're talking about. Basically, it's going to be a little bit clearer of a picture, but is that really worth selling your system and buying another system for $100 more?
Nope.
No, it's not. And honestly, like,
because it's not just the system, it's the TV, too. You got to get a TV. And you know that's gonna display that kind of, you know, that kind of content, and there just isn't sufficient content right now, period. Other than Netflix, you know, but even the discs, like, it won't play 4K Blu-ray discs.
That seems like a major
misstep. Which was the dumbest thing ever, because Sony came up with Blu-ray, and you know, they're the ones, and you know, oh yeah, we beat HD DVD, but now here you are coming out with PlayStation 4.5, you know, and instead of waiting like you should, and now they put the limitation on their own format,
and for
which is ridiculous
for them to have left the door open for Microsoft to be able to say, hey, our entry level Xbox One S system will do that. That was a real faux pas. Microsoft
jumped on that. Like, I mean, they jumped on that. That was hilarious.
Let me put it this way: not this in particular, but there's other things that have really gotten me like pro Microsoft camp now. Mainly one thing, and we'll get to that later, but there's one thing I'm like, really? You can't do this? Like, this bullshit, you can't fucking handle this. Microsoft can do this, no problem. But Sony, oh, poor Sony can't fucking handle this shit. Mm. And on top of, like, all this other nonsense, I'm like, maybe I should get an Xbox One. Then I can get this game on there instead, because I would be purchasing all my games on Xbox One instead of PlayStation 4 if they're multi-platform.
You know, we asked our users on Facebook in our community over at facebook.com/Orange Lounge Radio about the PlayStation 4 Pro. And here's some of the responses we got from our listeners about what they feel about this whole press conference and if they want a PlayStation 4 Pro or not. Our pal Critical Myth said, it's not clear to me what the benefit of this console would be versus the existing PlayStation 4. They have a long way to go before I'm sold on the need for it. You know, I'm kind of in a similar spot with that, because what really got me was when I went back to go watch the Mass Effect footage on YouTube or whatever, it actually, the president of BioWare, whoever it was, sorry, I forget who it was in the video, actually said, if you're not on a 4K TV to see this, go to one and replay this. Or, you know, it's kind of like, stop now and go to a 4K TV. And I'm sitting here like, oh, okay, let me just run to Best Buy and get one.
Yeah, let me just drop $800, $900, $1,000, you know, because that's, you know, because, you know, you're the 1%. So thank you.
In a weird way.
They actually have them down to about, like, $400.
Yeah, I kind of feel like if you bought a TV in the past maybe 2 years, that was one of the past 2 years mm-hmm. models, you probably got... I mean, TVs are getting more reasonable.
Yeah, I'm surprised how cheap they were. I mean, they had those all did HDR and all that stuff.
But even... I'm not going to go drop a grand on a new TV just for this.
Right.
And so, you know, and honestly, I think it was that more than anything for me that said... Maybe I don't need this PlayStation Pro because I'm not going to drop the money on a 4K TV. Then this guy is actually saying I'm going to need one to see the difference.
So is Andromeda coming out?
Whether that was the message Sony wanted to convey or not, I'm sorry, but that dude from BioWare, how he phrased it.
Is Andromeda coming out on PC?
It is. And don't think I haven't thought that.
Exactly.
That maybe need to go
so
to
that's
PC
like
kind of
my thing right there. Like I actually started thinking about, I'm like, why do I have a PlayStation 4? Is it because of, you know, Sony first-party exclusives that were, like, I was really interested in? And I started thinking, what Sony first-party exclusives do I have that I was really interested in? Oh, No Man's Sky. Well, that came out on fucking PC anyway, so... Infamous? Yeah, that wasn't very good. Nope, don't have anything, so I was like,
God of War.
You know, why?
I got it for God of War. So.
God of War's all right, but you don't buy a system for one game, Zelda. So I don't know. We'll have to see.
Let me get through a couple other comments on this from Facebook. Some different perspectives here. Tiger Claude said, I currently own the regular PlayStation 4 and don't have a 4K TV, so I don't need it. However, I heard that the PS4 Pro does not support 4K Blu-ray media, so it's going to be a deal breaker for those who want to watch their 4K Blu-ray disc on the 4K TVs. Degenerate Johnny had a very similar response to that, talking about that 4K digital content from Netflix and Hulu, but not physical content from 4K Blu-ray.
Right.
You know, supporting that. Wasn't Microsoft placed in the hot seat years ago for doing something similar, favoring digital content over physical content?
And digital content's all good and stuff if you have the fucking bandwidth to do it.
Yeah, and we've already hearing what you know, we hear what you know, our home IPs, you know, the ISPs are doing, like Comcast and stuff. They're putting a cap on bandwidth, you know, on a monthly basis already too. So what's, you know, so now we run into this conundrum of, you know, this rapid fire advancement in technology and clarity in gaming and movies, but now you've got, you know, the ISP saying, well, we're only going to let you enjoy it for a limited amount of bandwidth before we kind of start capping you. So we're running into a problem here. So it's like, yeah, it you know, so we become so obsessed and dependent on the streaming aspect of it, you know, but here we are, you know. You know, questioning, are we willing to drop another $400 on essentially minuscule upgrades?
Well, and then there's this thing about one more response from Facebook. Andy Ard said, since I don't have a 4K TV, I don't see too much of a reason to get one. Sure, it'll have some improvements for 1080 TVs, but not enough, in my opinion.
Right.
Plus, I'd rather get PlayStation VR this fall, and I don't have the funds to drop on two $400 boxes. And that, for me, puts the nail in the coffin of why I think this was not the right time
for
this.
Well, here's the other thing, too. Now it has me wondering... How well is PlayStation VR running on the regular PlayStation 4? I don't know yet.
Well,
like how? What
they're
exactly?
They're demoing it in Best Buy's on a regular.
Yes,
PlayStation
I know.
4.
I got there a few minutes too late yesterday, so I was like, "Oh, hey, man."
But I mean, I think for the most part, I feel like I actually feel okay that the PlayStation 4 is going to be able to support the VR stuff. Okay. But, you know, I think that's a very good point, is that Sony's putting out two new $400 products this year, and I'm not sure that's the brightest thing to do, especially when it seems too early for this 4K thing. It
exactly.
Really does.
And Microsoft's coming out with theirs probably, I'd say, next fall. So already, I mean, technology's going to be so much better, like, or at least cheaper than what they've got there. And they can put out a system that's more powerful, same price. When actually more people have content and like the devices to actually watch this stuff on, it's too damn early. It's like when they tried to push that fucking 3D TV shit and they actually had, hey, look, it's the PlayStation TV and it's, you know, got fucking 3D, you know, TV and stuff. It's a shitty small TV that did their 3D stuff. And then they're like, fuck 3D, you know,
VR.
But do you want to hear the hilarious part of this? I pre-ordered one on Amazon anyway.
Ah, you can, because as you said,
you can just go on there and click pre-order. I don't have to give them any money or commitment or anything, and I can go in and cancel if I change my mind, which I kind of think I'm going to do. But Sony has 30 months to make me change my – or 30 months, 30 days or so to make me change my mind. I still
maybe change my mind on PlayStation VR.
Yeah.
Because the more I think about it, I'm like, what am I really getting out of this? And I'm kind of wondering maybe if I should just wait and see if there's something. I mean, if they're going to handle this like they did 3D,
I was hoping to hear a little more. You know, a lot of folks had said that this PlayStation conference they did this week felt very short. And I was surprised they didn't talk more about VR, considering that is coming out in a month. Obviously they talked about it in conjunction with the Pro, but they didn't really talk a lot about the, that kind of surprised me.
How is it better though? Is it just, a higher frame rate? And even still, it's like, that's kind of lame.
I think it's the same sort of textures improved and, those sorts of
things. Like, I don't understand why I would drop that kind of money for that. I don't know. It's just... that's all you've got for me is that your games aren't that innovative, it's just, man, it's slightly prettier.
Going to look much brighter. You're going to be able to see the details,
But that's on any system, though. Yeah. HDR is going to be supported, on anything. And we'll get into that a little bit later, but I'm just saying, what's the point in dropping money for this Pro thing? Because you're not going to... I don't know. I don't really think there's any... immediate needs for that, and look at the titles that are going to support it. Yeah, Call of Duty is going to support it, but is it everything out of the gate? I mean, how many titles are going to be supporting this right away? And not everybody has to support it.
I'm really curious what's going to happen for those households that don't have PlayStation 4s at all right now. Because, I mean, at first glance, you would think, oh, well, if I didn't have a PlayStation 4 at all, then great. I'm just going to buy the Pro because it just makes sense. But at the same time, does it? Because now these households are faced with, do I get the PlayStation 4 Pro or do I save $100 and get a Slim? Is this worth $100? That's going to be the question that these holiday sales numbers are going to be.
And for most families, yes, it is going to be a huge, huge difference because, I mean, that's why Nintendo. Meanwhile, Nintendo's in the background, in the darkness, just laughing maniacally, like, haha, we're still going to be cheaper than all of you.
Yeah, but
it does really feel like Nintendo is just writing off this. Well, I shouldn't say they're writing off this holiday. They're writing off the Wii U for this holiday, but you're starting to see all these other plans. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, okay, well, since our Mega Beast won't be available, we're going to send all these other little gremlins out, between the classic NES and the thing we'll get into with the iPhone later on that I'm sure y'all already know about, with that. What else? The physical Pokemon Go thing. They're going to start attacking holiday from all these other angles, I think, instead. And I think Wii U is just kind of like, come on down to your old Wii U saloon.
Yeah, not so much the Wii U, just Nintendo in general with their next announcement. And I mean, because I think that's more I was referring to, just because, they did pretty well last year, with them being the cheapest at the time, even though it didn't make a huge difference now, but I think that Sony shot themselves in the foot majorly with this. Microsoft's going to do a lot better, which is kind of sad because the Slim wasn't really necessary to begin with anyway, but we'll see.
Yeah, we will definitely see, especially, the games are going to be very important. I know the last month of sales figures showed that Xbox One outsold PlayStation 4. Now, to be fair, Xbox One put out that new S, and that figure is the old one and the new one combined.
They combined them both.
but still, that is not a trend that Sony would want to see continue.
And here's the thing, what's really amazing about the Pro is it's able to output, 4K images, upscaled, but it's, higher than 1080p. Greater detail, more fidelity in the picture, but still can't fucking run PlayStation 1 games or can't run PlayStation 2 games. Yet a fucking PSP can run a PlayStation 1. So what you're telling me is that system is fucking weaker than a PSP.
Yeah, the only thing, what was that, the emotion chip in the PlayStation 2 that made all the difference with the
compatibility? But they still have now its software emulated stuff on the PlayStation 3. So don't tell me that fucking powerful ass fucking system can't play PlayStation 2 games. Oh, but PlayStation Now has this shit. No, fuck you. I am not buying your fucking PlayStation
Now.
Well,
it does play select PlayStation 2 games available for $9.99.
I am not subscribing to PlayStation Now ever. Fucking ever. I am never, ever subscribing to that.
More like PlayStation Never.
I'm going to save that clip for when he subscribes a year from now.
I will never subscribe to it.
More like PlayStation Never.
All right. let's see. Dungeon Buster in chat says, it's been barely 3 years since the PlayStation 4 came out. This still feels like a knee-jerk reaction to a changing market. Okay. Here's the weird thing for me. I've been following video games for even longer than this show has existed, 15 plus years at this point, right? Mm-hmm. What is the changing market? I didn't understand that.
There isn't. They believe that there is, and there absolutely isn't. And
it's the cell phones are fucking everything up.
Yeah,
right?
I think it's the advancements of the smartphones, and the bigger publishers are like, we need to keep them at home. We can't let them go out.
People think because people drop hundreds of dollars every other year on a nominal cell phone upgrade, they're going to do the same thing with game.
Right,
that's what it boils down.
They
to,
have
right?
the Apple mentality, and they think that that's okay. But even we're seeing with Apple themselves, it's like Apple's losing sales from the six because of these sort of things, and it's going to change. It's going to change after a while. People are going to get tired of spending $500-$600 a year, because it's gonna happen to Xbox as well. That Project Scorpio, that better be something crazy good, because we're hyping the Slim, but now we're going to have extra an XXL version of the one next year, and it's like,
well, rumor is, and take this with a giant salt lick, because rumor doesn't mean much, but that Scorpio's like an expensive motherfucker. Like, it's gonna be a $700 thing. Like, it is for gamers that are dedicated and need the power. But we laugh, but check out how much Steam boxes cost. There's people willing to pay the higher end.
If you need more power and you want to play Xbox games, buy a PC. I mean, seriously, that they were fucking pimping that shit all fucking E3. Windows 10 and Xbox One exclusive. And then, you don't need them. If you want a more powerful system, why are you going to drop money on an Xbox that you can't fucking upgrade? Unless you buy a brand new system. Buy a PC.
That's probably
good. That's the thing. That's why I was like, I'll buy an Xbox One. No, wait, actually, no. I will buy a PC, because why would I buy an Xbox One that you're going to try to sell me a new one later on? And I don't understand the point of this new PlayStation system, because, once again, what is it? What are they meeting? I mean, are there people out there going, well, the PlayStation 4 just doesn't look good enough, I'm not buying it? No one is saying that. Nobody is doing that. I mean, people might be like, oh, yeah, I wish it was 4K. Well, it fucking isn't. And you know what? It's still not fucking 4K. It just upscales to 4K. It's not 4K.
But there's just still not enough content to justify 4K like that, again, other than Netflix and such. But that's it. Like, it's like we all said earlier, it's just too soon. And you know who I pity the most, and of course this is going to come from me,
of course,
it's the developers. The developers who've been so focused on even developing for the PlayStation platform as it is, and then to hear now you're getting two different hardware upgrades or options. And I remember hearing some point earlier this year that I don't know if it was a Game of Sutra or somewhere else, were saying that PlayStation for any new developers on Sony, Sony made the developers sign this like exclusivity thing where it's like your games have to be 4K ready as an option. Like, it can't just not have 4K option, and or something along those lines. It was very concerning, because as a developer, making a game in even 1080 is tough, because it's like, there's so many limitations, whatever, as powerful as the consoles are, we as indie developers only have such a limited amount of budget, to make a game as pretty as possible. I mean, for God's sake, look at what happened to No Man's Sky. As pretty as it was, and the approach that they made with it, they have a long way to go, but they fell big time because of all the crap that they went through, and you know, and they barely got by on the PC version, but look what happened, you know, like between PC, PlayStation 4, all that stuff. But my point is that there's a cost, there's a huge cost to creating 4K textures, 1080p textures, and of course the player, people who are playing, they're not thinking about that, but people like myself, that's a huge hit on our budget, because it's like we budget our games, you know, hopefully to get it right. We hope to get it right. And, you know, let's put our game in 1080p, but now we're in 4K, and it's so difficult to get 4K textures, you know, 4K textures implemented properly, especially when we've never made, you know, huge games. We don't have the support. We don't have the size of a AAA studio. And that's the other big problem, too. Like, that's where I was concerned with, you know, with Sony announcing this, because it's like, how many developers are actually going to utilize that's the 4K.
Can I tinfoil hat something for a minute? Because, you know, your line of thinking here kind of made me think of something. Is it possible that No Man's Sky, you know, because there was obviously people have their issues with some of the quality checks and things like that.
Right.
Is it possible that No Man's Sky was rushed to market? Try not to laugh, because I realized the game was delayed like 5 times.
Right.
But was it possible that No Man's Sky had to release now to get around this 4K directive?
I think they did, but I do think I think where they failed the most is that they were trying to create an imaginary world, this massive universe. They were trying to create this imaginary universe, and the procedural generation approach on the development side, that's a really inexpensive way to create a massive world, a massive universe, because procedural generation, it's all in programming. It's just all in programming. But the problem with them is, I think partly you're right about that, you know, on the back end, because they're like, you know, because even with myself, with my Kinship game, when I started Kinship was initially going to be on the 360. And then we hear about when Microsoft moved to Xbox One, and they weren't bringing, it wasn't supposed to be backward compatible. So anything coming out on Xbox Indie wasn't going to be able to be played, because they changed the whole architecture for Xbox One. Then the Nintendo opportunity came up with, you know, for Wii U. We're like, all right, great. You know, this is our second chance. But now Wii U is dissolving into the nether. And now here we are again, like, well, what's going to happen with NX? Let's see what happens with NX. So now I've just ultimately decided we're just going to make it for PC and see what happens from that point. Mm-hmm. But you come to it is an extremely frustrating process, because, you know, yeah, at some point, they No Man's Sky was so far in, especially with the size of their game. If their game was just a regular, you know, 10 level game, you know, couple worlds game, maybe a 6-8 hour game, they probably would have delayed it again. But they were in too deep with No Man's Sky, and they were like, and they knew, you know, they didn't want to become, and again, this is, I'm probably putting my tinfoil hat on myself, but they probably didn't want to be a Star Citizen.
Well, so. I still like No Man's Sky for what it is, and, you know, yeah. I stand by my early impressions and review of that game. But what I don't like is all of a sudden there's like some massive radio silence coming out of that company. Like, oh, after they patched the PC thing, then you check the Twitter, it's like dead. Like, and I realize, okay, you put out a game that you've been working on for years, maybe you need a little vacation, but you rotate that vacation so somebody can keep us in the loop of what the hell's going on.
Not for that kind, and that's what I'm saying. Not for that kind of game. They try to, and that's when, you know, even when I do my meetups, this is why I'm really proud to have founded the chapter, because that's one of the things we talk about in our different chapter meetup sessions. The one thing you don't ever want to do as your first game is make an MMO. That's like game development 101. Your first game should never be a World of Warcraft. You just don't do that unless you're an inherence baby. But even then, you know, you still have to
because
know what you're
too,
doing.
Too much to chew.
It's
too big.
Huge.
Right? Yeah.
It's huge. And you don't have, it's not just the skill set, because one can have the skill set to make that scale of a game, but you have to, the one thing, you know, nerds, a lot of nerds, and especially developers don't have, especially at the start of all this, is discipline. You need a mental discipline to make that to make a game of that scale, and with everything those guys went through with No Man's Sky, they should have brought it out in, you know, they should have brought it out in bits and pieces. They would have been so much better off, I think.
They kind of did.
Well, well, I mean, efficiently, not just, you know what I'm saying, not just sloppy, but, you know.
Okay. Well, okay. Yeah. Let's shift a little bit to talking a little more about you and what you're involved with and all this stuff. So obviously you are, you know, founder and such of the SAC IGDA. How are things going? Has there been growth here locally with developers?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah?
Absolutely. I mean, we, you know, the proof is always in, you know, our Indie Arcade event. You know, I founded the chapter 3.5 years ago, and the whole point of the chapter, founding the chapter, was I needed our Sacramento game developer group to be taken seriously. I was tired of us getting laughed at by our neighbors.
Who would laugh? Why would you laugh?
Because we're Sacramento. Because we're Sacramento. We are the redheaded stepchild of California. Because
we're also, like, if I'm not mistaken, we are a top 20 media market, right? Top 25 media market, right?
You know, it's something like that. But I mean, again,
yeah,
but
we still don't have gigabit internet though.
Yeah, but like San Francisco is right next to us.
Sorry, our houses are affordable.
Right. Well, yeah, they won't be for long. No, they won't be for long because all the Bay Area people are coming here.
No, it's the fucking arena's fault.
Yeah, it is the arena's fault. And you know, and
that's how you talk like a Sacramentan. You explain everything on that goddamn arena.
Well, that's what I do, and I'm from New Jersey, and I already know better. It's like, no.
Will,
like,
the arena make them play better?
No, it won't. I'm not going any further with the Kings stuff other than in the arena stuff, other than this statement, and I've said it a few times, and it's raising my eyebrows, and I'm going to do it again because I don't care. My opinion on it is that the Kings, the new arena should not have been built until the Kings won something. Period. So no arena should have been built for an average team. Period. Win a championship, and then you get a great Christmas gift, a new arena.
Well, to be a fair counterpoint, they've promised to bring the Monarchs back.
Yeah.
And the Monarchs were able to win a championship.
Yeah, and God promised me to be 6'3 with a six-pack
abs.
That hasn't happened.
Sometimes you need a woman to get it done.
Well, anyway. I think.
Just saying. I just showed you receipts.
Right. So one of the biggest things was making sure that our game developer group was taken seriously. And more importantly, we weren't losing great talent, you know, a lot of talent leaving Sacramento to go to all these different locations and such, which I respect that, you know, they want to work for insert, you know, big AAA studio here, whatever. But if we had an opportunity to create a job market here in SAC and make them be like, whoa, I don't have to leave home. I can stay and not have to worry about paying $3,000 a month for a studio in San Francisco if I get lucky. And excuse me. So with like, so that the idea was that, you know, we have been nurturing and developing this chapter, and it has expanded into wonderful proportions. I just put out a newsletter last week, and on our meetup group, we are over 1,000 members now. Now, it is both, and I said this in the newsletter, it is both a very interesting milestone, but it's also a concerning one because we don't see 1,000 members at a time ever, but we have seen a lot more. I will say that in our newest Indie Arcade where we
wait till your next event.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. See, the next event that might change, but for the moment we'll see what happens. But with our most recent Indie Arcade back in April, in West Sacramento, you know, we had about 550 attendees, which was more than double the other two Indie Arcades.
I told Bree this, you guys are sitting on the next big SAC gaming con, I would say it's going to happen, but it is happening.
Well, I'm very proud of this. Number one, I'm very proud of the people that have helped make this happen in the first place. You are a part of this. You know what I'm saying? You guys were a part of this.
We just showed up and told
you. No, you did more than that.
Thank you.
So you did more than that. I'm going to strangle you with this microphone cord. I'm just telling you, you've done so much more than that.
Because
it's not just us. Our chapter's defined by everybody. I just host and I try to be the push for everybody, especially like this man over here, Loki, trying to get his shit done. You know what I'm saying? That's what we do. That's what we, that's what we try to do.
Unless you can find a way for me to get more than 4 hours of sleep at night, which is just...
I hear sedatives are pretty good. But, but anyway, I digress. So the idea is that...
Have you guys had some games that have that like people might recognize, like the downloaded that have come out of SAC IGD members?
Oh my god, the one
I think of, I just saw because
Monsters
I
and Monocles,
yeah, Monsters and Monocles, absolutely. That guy in Davis,
yep,
that put that together. In fact, I need to invite him on the show.
Yes,
just released on the Steam Early Access, and mm-hmm. I know he was at the arcade event a couple years ago. So yes. You're starting to see, and they were at PAX. They went to PAX West while mm-hmm. I was at Dragon Con, mm-hmm. and I know they had a lot of success there. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's a really great success story, and I'm sure you've got more cause based on the games I saw at arcade.
Venture Forth is done.
Venture Forth was out, and actually, I'm actually glad you said that because we're actually doing a meetup later this month in Elk Grove. I believe it's in Elk Grove at at the Inno Grove co-working space, where we're going to do a Q&A for Skirmish Studios as well as ArcLight for the Venture Forth game, and because they both ran recently very successful Kickstarter campaigns, and
that's awesome.
and we're going to be talking to them and interviewing them to see why what went right, what went wrong, and what they could have done better, so on and so forth. But yeah, no, I mean, Monsters and Monocles is definitely one of those games that's done so well. And we've had a slew more. And in fact, we had a mystery judge who she used to work at Xbox. I don't know if you were there for that.
Yeah, she
came through and was like, you know, I'm going to look around. I want to see what's going on. But no one knew that someone from that used to work for Xbox. She works for a subsidiary of Wargaming, and she came through and was like, "Here's, you know, I'm gonna tap you guys." And I feel so horrible. I cannot remember the name of the game. If Bree's in the chat, I don't know if she's listening or in the chat.
Wasn't that the one that was like a runner with polarity type of thing? Like it was black and white.
Yeah, black and white. Little yes, absolutely.
Black, yeah, that was. Actually,
and I feel
that was a neat
so
concept.
Bad. Yeah. If the studio's listening, I'm so sorry, guys, because my mind's a
what game
mess.
Which one?
The one that won that prize from the Microsoft yes. developer that was really good. It was like a black and white type of game, and then like in the white spots would be the black character that's running through, and in the white spots would be the black character.
I've got the demo for that. It was like the
Rabbit and the Owl.
Yeah,
Rabbit and the Owl.
Rabbit's in there, but yeah, Rabbit and the Owl. They have been kicking butt. You know, they've been doing great. They got selected.
Bree's actually in our chat. I just realized she's the anonymous chatter in there. She's like screaming at the top of her lungs. Thanks, Bree.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you, Bree. So, but again, ultimately, you know, there's been a ton of growth here, and we've started our most recent Progressive Game Jam, and a slew of new teams, a slew of new faces, as well as the veterans that were there last year and the year before that. It's been a tremendous, tremendous thing. And, you know, even now with myself, I'm proud to say that now I can finally be a part of that with my Crumple game coming out within the next month and a half-ish. Yeah.
I'm so happy for you.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I was starting to wonder if your game was kind of like one of Loki's games. If we were going to see it come. So you're within 6 weeks.
Hey, I don't release stuff that's not fun. And I am so mentally working. You know, stuff. So I every day I think about my game, and every day, you know, jot stuff down, and I do research every day.
Well, maybe that's the problem.
Every day I think about mowing the lawn.
Right. Right. No, I don't actually.
No, see, who really does that?
That's all right. I'm one step ahead of you. I just don't water the lawn, so it doesn't grow.
Well, technically, you're obeying the law because we're in California.
All right, anyway,
nonetheless,
wait.
So
fuck the lawn, right. Crumple.
So yeah, with Crumple, yeah, I announced it maybe even 3-4 weeks ago that Crumple's over 90% done now. We're working on the
90% left now.
Yeah, I know, right? We have we're working on the actual ending for the first episode, since Crumple, for some who've been keeping close lock on our game, Crumple's going to be released in episodes. And so the first episode is, like I mentioned, a little over 90% done. We're working on the ending to how episode one will end. It's going to be pretty intense. And we're just putting the final touches of any bugs squashing in the code. But yeah, we're almost done.
You wouldn't think a game starring an envelope would be intense.
I could tell. So see, one thing about me, and this is another reason why I started this chapter, because I came in as the idea guy. I do not have any art skill. I do not have any coding skill, but I could tell a story because I've done poetry and I, you know, and I have a wacky imagination. The thing with me,
it's about what's in on the inside, and that's anthrax.
Let him finish. Shut up.
So what happens is
you know what's on your inside? Pepperoni. That's it.
I don't have any pepperoni. It's all garlic and Parmesan.
Just be quiet. All right.
So what happens is that for me it was, you know, even if you have the imagination and the idea, you can make something beautiful. You can make something very intense. And I mean, I think we've seen a lot of games that seem simple on the surface are actually very, very intense. Limbo, which was part inspiration for Crumple, comes to mind. Like, okay, a 10-year-old boy, black and white silhouette. Okay, what's why? And that game turned out to be incredibly intense and atmospheric. So to be able to achieve that on Crumple, knowing we were making it on Flash, it's like, how are we going to pull this off? But we've been able to do it, and I can't wait when we show the little progression reel of how Crumple started, how it looked when it first started, as compared to how it looks now with all the sounds and the attention to detail.
I'm excited to play it again. I think the last time I played it was almost a year ago at that Reno thing.
Oh my goodness. Last time I played it. Yeah. You can actually play the demo now. There's been a demo for probably near a year now on Newgrounds.
And, as a listener of this fine program, please tell me where I can get this demo.
Did you have something on Good Old Games, though, I thought? No, I'm thinking of the other one, Desura.
So the demo started on Desura. Desura went, just dissipated
had
into...
Had some problems.
Yes, dissipated quietly. Yes. So yes, we'll call it. So there's actually a demo on itch.io as well, but I don't really ever know about that. But on Newgrounds, and they've been super supportive. Newgrounds have actually been retweeting and liking my stuff as well, which is pretty cool. I don't have the exact link off the top of my head because it's like numerical. So just Newgrounds, go on newgrounds.com, on the search, type Crumple. It'd be the first link. You'll see it. You don't need to sign up for an account on Newgrounds. You can just play it. And yeah, it's not the newest version, but it's generally pretty close to where we're at. We've made a number of upgrades and touch ups since then, but you'll still be able to give it a shot.
There's a link just given in our chat room too by Bree for all the listeners.
Yes,
there, if you
want to check
that
there
out.
You go. Thank you so
over
much.
On Newgrounds.
Yep, so. That's the link.
So for those listening on the podcast, though, you'll have to search for it. But it's Crumple.
Yeah, absolutely. And I cannot stress this enough. I talk about this on my Twitter all the time. And for those who are not following me already on Twitter, it's @NascentGames. So please follow us. Say hi. Say what's up. But feedback. We always need your feedback. We need to know what's right, what's not so right. We need to hear this stuff. And in we recommend that for any developer you give feedback to, don't be a poo-poo head about it. You know, be constructive. You know, give us good feedback because
This sucks doesn't tell me how to make it better.
Yeah, this sucks. You're never going to play this again. This game is so hard. It's not going to tell me anything. It's like, okay, why? We need to understand why. So definitely when you play it, give us that feedback. We would love to have that feedback. We need it. We need the feedback because I don't know a damn thing. But I know I
want
to make
you want
games.
That feedback from the OLR listeners before the rest of the internet.
Hell
trust
yeah!
Me.
What's very, up?
We're very fortunate here at OLR that we have some pretty decent minded people listening to this program.
Thank you, decent minded adults or children, whichever. That's great. glad to hear that.
Well, a lot of them did start off as children, and now we're full now we're adults. So.
You have to have a little bit of a thick skin to put up with Loki's crap 3 hours. Dang, a week.
I have four sisters. They know he can do that. Hasn't already happened.
Tell us briefly about Kinship. What is Kinship? Where's this at?
Kinship right now, just like almost anything in the game development, it has suffered its setbacks, both on a technological tech standpoint, you know, as well as who's able to help and you know, so on and so forth. And it's Kinship is it's funny because Kinship initially started as the original idea with Kinship was that it was going to be a fan remake of Gradius 3. And I decided, no, fan remakes, I can't be doing that. I need to do something original. If I'm going to spend 3 years making something, might as well make something new and original. You can come up with something, Gabriel. Do something. So I did. So here we are. Now, again, you know, as we talked earlier, Kinship started as a 360 game, you know, was going to hopefully be a Wii U game. That's not going to happen now. So now we look at just PC for the moment and then console-wise see what comes from that. On the
Do
you have your 4K textures ready to go?
Hell no. 4K, you know, can whatever. So anyway, so 4K this. So the idea is that, you know, I've involved myself more in the development side. I've actually learned how to do environments and build levels out. So
okay, because I was gonna say, and I just to back up a little bit, I was very blown away when you just said now, because I didn't even realize this. You said that you didn't code Crumple, and I always had this thing in my mind that you coded right in there with the best of them, but you. You're more of like a project manager is kind of what you're doing, right?
Yes, sir.
You're making you see the plan and you're making sure all the moving parts are doing this. But it sounds like you got your hands a little dirtier with Kinship.
Yeah.
And you actually got in there and did some more of the
environments. Yeah, I've been developing more of the environments. If you look at it's not a very, very recent trailer, but well actually no. I actually posted a gameplay trailer back in March before the Indie Arcade event. I posted our first gameplay trailer on our YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. YouTube.com/nascentgames. Go there and look up the stage 3 for Kinship gameplay. I actually created that it was a space, you know, just kind of the easiest thing to create first, but I did
start.
It. But yeah, it was a great place to start. And you're gonna get an idea of what Kinship looks like, how it feels, so on and so forth. And I saw Bree's comment about the soundtrack. Yes, we have definitely check our soundtrack on Bandcamp. We have a compilation soundtrack, and I just released a demo track on there now. Yeah, nascentgames.bandcamp.com. Yes, definitely. Thank you. So anyway, so Kinship, Kinship is going to end up. I'm working on the next trailer now for Kinship. It's going to become much more personal for me because I've gone through both the technical setbacks as well as the personal setbacks with the development of this game. When this game comes out, it's probably going to piss off a couple of people who know they were involved with it and were no longer involved with it, and there's going to be messages to them in very subtle ways.
Wait, whoa.
Yeah.
What fucking dynasty unfolding here? Dynasty in space unfolding here. Wait, so you're... Are you airing dirty laundry here on this project? You had people that you were working on this game with,
mm-hmm,
that are no longer a part of the project for,
yep,
I'm assuming, creative differences is,
yes,
always the politically correct way to put it.
Yeah, those two words.
But you are flat out saying, listen, all y'all, I left you bitches some messages in, mm-hmm, my game.
Yeah. The idea here, yeah, is that
you're like the fucking Taylor Swift of video games.
I hopefully don't want to go
that far.
Yeah,
you're a snake, Gabe.
More like a solid snake.
A sneaky snake.
Oh, fuck you, Gabe. That was too good for this program.
So here's my whole thing with that. I'm always grateful for both the good and the bad experiences, whatever we go through. The one thing, I mean, and we've seen it happen to so many game developers, you know, especially those who kind of had their hands, you know, just by themselves, and then they decide to sneak one more person in, you know. And I mean, we won't, you know, I'm sure we can all think of immediately who we think of when I say that, you know, Phil Fish. Anyway, so nonetheless, it's like we think about what happened, you know, what happened with those challenges. With me, it was a couple of things. You had those who had the drive but didn't, you know, they had the drive but their ego got in the way. But then you had those who, you know, who were very humble but not at all confident in their skill set. And it affects you during your game development. And after a while, you know, you try to empower them. And that's one thing I learned very early on with this, is that because I don't know anything about development, you know, I had to make sure I came at this from a very reasonable point of view and very empowering point of view. And, you know, this year, you know, and I've run into the issue a few times. I mean, you know, to the point where someone, and this was very early on in development, not recently, but to the point where someone actually sat down with me and asked me to make them the producer of my game. They asked me to make them a producer of my game, and they hadn't actually made anything for me yet. And they hadn't even graduated school yet. I said, why would I make you that? Why would I make you that at all? Because they were like, well, I need to have that on my resume. I'm like, no, you need to earn it. I was like, you need to earn it. And we run into those egos, and that's part of the biggest problem. One of the biggest problems with this is that, you know, we, you know, I run into those things and like, and I'm left speechless. Like, what the hell do I, how do I even respond to this sort of thing? So for me, you know, it became, and it's very frustrating because it's like, again, with the ton of other setbacks that I already had, you know, now that becomes, you don't want to take it personal, but it's like, I don't share my story with why I'm making my games to just anybody, you know, saying, unless I'm selling you the game and you want to understand why. But if I'm asking you to help me make this game and I share my story, it's for real. And to just kind of, for those things to happen, you know, is a big slap in the face. Mm. But I don't vent about that sort of thing online. I'm not typing multiple messages online or anything like that. Here, us as friends, we talk about that because, and it's something I share with the people in my chapter too. When we talk about that, it's, you know, it's a thing which you have to be ready for, that you're going to come across people like that, and you have to know how to handle yourself.
Well, yeah, I mean,
when something like that happens,
that's so. Part of life, and also part of business, is that there's going to be people that you have unfortunate, you know, run-ins with and circumstances with, and you learn from every experience.
So it's what, like, I'm understanding here is I'm going to be the executive producer on this game. That's fantastic.
Okay, but what I do like about this, and, you know, well, I mean, not that this story is unfortunate and everything, but,
of course.
But what I do like about what, you know, you're talking about with the story and how you were not really coding for Crumple, but you got in there a little more with Kinship, and I think this is a very, very, very important point that we don't always talk about, but it does seem to come up whenever you or Bree are on the show, and it's definitely worth repeating, is that you don't necessarily have to be a, and I'm going to use my quotey fingers, code monkey.
Right.
To get, and no offense to the code monkeys of the world.
No,
we wouldn't have
not.
Gaming if it weren't for y'all. But here's the thing, and it's a great Jonathan Coulton song.
It is.
However, you don't necessarily have to already know Unity. You don't have to know.
No, you don't. Not at all.
C++. You don't have to know Visual
Game
Basic.
Game Maker's on sale this week.
You don't have to know any
$1.
Of that right. In order to make a game. Because yep. Sometimes the key part to making a game is networking with the right people that you want to make a game with.
Yep.
But then that turns into a family, and sometimes you get family problems.
Right. Game development is all about chemistry. No coding skill, no art skill, no animation skill, no 3D modeling skill, or 2D art asset skill.
You're describing me right now.
None of that is going to matter if you don't have the chemistry with your people, and you know, and that has to come from both ends, and with that chemistry has to come accountability. And part of the issue with the past issues I've run into has mainly been between, you know, the just filthy arrogance and the filthy lack of accountability, because it's, you know, you know I myself start questioning my own capabilities on what I've been doing and the impact I've been leaving with both the community and my own games. And it took me so long to finally decide what part of game development was I going to do. Because I tried to get into animation back in the late 90s, you know, or mid 90s when Donkey Kong Country came out on the Super Nintendo. How inspired I was to, like, oh my God, I want to do this. Seeing what they did to make that. Silicon Graphics was my friend. I wanted them. I wanted to marry them. And, but as
well,
I got
who doesn't?
Right. Well, of course, indeed. But the idea was that as I learned more and more about animation, what it took, I was like, I can't draw. So for the next 15 years, I gave up on myself and just went with a regular life, and I was part of the sheep and just worked and put my dreams aside. And now here I am at this point where I'm so close now, and I've got Crumple coming out, and I turned 40 at the end of November, and November 28th, that Crumple's going to be out through hell or high water before I turn 40. And I'm telling you, with all these things that I've gone through, that, you know, that's why it's like, we learn from this, we chalk it up to the experience, and when we put the credits, when Kinship finally is done and we put those credits up, and in that special thanks section, you know how you see this special thanks and all these different credits, the special thanks are going to be to all those people who didn't do an effing thing for me, and I can't wait. But it's also going to be mixed with the good people who were supportive and all that stuff, but it's going to be a great guessing game, because it's going to be like, wow, which one of them really pissed him off and which one actually supported him? You'll never know. And it's a beautiful thing. So, but anyway, all that aside, so
I don't know how to follow that up. I'm excited to play that game. and Kinship, which will be out. So come hell or high water before your 40th birthday.
Yes, sir.
Well, what's interesting in hearing you talk and say all that story is it was so funny to me in a way, not funny, haha, but ironic, is you could just replace like everything you said with radio and, hey, it's me, because that's what I went to college to do, was to do radio. Well, originally it started I was going to be a weatherman.
So was when I was a little kid, when the Weather Channel came out. Oh my God, I was so obsessed with that. So you're not alone.
Can you imagine Rob Roberts with the weather? so there was that. And then I did broadcast journalism. I actually interned at a television station in the town where I went to school.
Nice.
And I learned about how fucking miserable everybody was there. And I started to realize, like, I don't know if this is really for me. And then you start to get into radio. And this was right when the internet was starting to boom and all this other stuff. And there's this very, like, ho-hum attitude in radio. And it's like, you know, you can work your way. You can work and work and work and work all these hours. But if you don't suck the right dick, you're just not going to get anywhere in radio. And I'm just kind of like, I don't know if this is the life I signed up. But here we are.
Bree, who's big in radio now in TV, she could totally tell you all. You just got called out, Rob Roberts Roker. That's pretty
You know, and I have mad respect for people like Bree who stayed in that industry and have really, you know, worked on that from the inside. You know, for me, I was like, I'm going to just go work a temp job and see what I can do in my life and figure this out another way. And, you know, started radio as a fun little thing on the side. And shit, here we are. I'm going to be turning 40 in a couple years. And we got some podcasts. But I love it. You know, I've been able to do all this on my terms.
Absolutely. And no one can ever take that away from you. Mm-hmm. And that is the same thing with game development. And that's the same thing that I have to tell myself every day. And that's the same thing I have to tell other people. Like, this is going to probably be the one and only platform that I'm going to share kind of the more personal stuff that I kind of did here. No one's ever going to hear this again, because I got to keep going forward. But I think this was healthy for me, because I haven't really been able to share this because of
I'm glad we can be your psychological outlet.
No, me too.
You like how we have a couch here in the studio? Yeah.
I'm not should I put my feet up?
And if, like, you want, make yourself home.
Put my feet up and lay back. That's just awesome. Definitely. So thank you for that, by the way. I that means
I just feel a little weird that you talk about some of those difficulties and we follow that up with, hey, but you should all try to get into game development.
Have to be ready for that. You have to be ready for the good and bad.
And that is life. You could be involved in sports. You could be involved in podcasting. You could be involved, and there's going to be people that are great that you work with great, like Loki and Dark Soccer, and there's going to be people in your life that you don't work with so well greatly.
Absolutely.
And that's just going to happen. That's although it. Honestly, like, I don't want to, like, not, I've made it sound shady, like everybody's going to go try to figure out, ooh, who does Rob Roberts not work well with? Actually, I've been pretty fortunate in the podcasting thing that everybody's been pretty decent.
Yeah.
Definitely. So I can't, you know.
Yeah. And I mean, and I've had my, you know, again, I've had, you know, with dealing with my bad eggs, and, you know, it's good. The important thing is that I can complain about that. And this is why I don't really ever talk about it. This way, today was kind of the exception, and I'm happy I was able to. But once it happens, I chalk it up to the experience, and I just simply ask myself, what type of personality am I not going to deal with going ahead? Because they're not going to stop me from going forward in what I've got to do. I've got a game to make, and I've got games to release, and I got people waiting to play my game, and no one is going to remove that dream of mine, because I am the only one in control of that, whether I decide to stop it or not. And I'm not, because as I said, I did that for 20 years, and that's not happening again. So, and I've got a community rooting me on, ready, waiting for me to get this done. So, like you guys. So, hell yeah.
All right. Well, that's one of the most raw interviews we've probably had here on Orange Lounge Radio. But raw. No, I appreciate it. I love it. You know,
I appreciate it more, man.
Again, if people want to get involved with making games, you know, again, and we just want to emphasize, you know, even though Gabe's talking about some dramatic experiences that he's had, you're going to get that with anything, and you have to be prepared for it. But there's a lot of great rewards. I've gotten great rewards from podcasting. You've gotten great rewards from making games, and the best is yet to come when these things actually release. So keep an eye out at Nascent Games on Twitter. Website's nascentgames.net, right?
Yeah, nascentgames.net. That's our new website. You can actually see the most up-to-date Crumple gameplay trailer first thing on the video there. There's a lot more I'm going to be doing to that website. I had to revamp it from the ground up. But it's nice for what it is right now at the time, for the time being. Our YouTube We're going to be posting more on that soon. YouTube.com/NASAGames. Our Bandcamp, where, again, we have a compilation album right now to hear the different music tracks that we're making for the couple different games we're working on. NASAGames.bandcamp.com. I also posted a new demo track for our Kinship game. It's free, so be sure to... I just posted it, I think, a week or so ago. So be sure to have a listen to it. It's a demo track, but it's a good track. So be sure to catch that. And then we're on Twitch, and we're actually going to be doing an extra live stream on this Tuesday at the Cafe Colonial. We're going to be doing a live stream for Extra Life on Bioshock, the Bioshock Collection, which comes out on Tuesday. I'll be jamming out to Bioshock 1 because I love the hell out of that game. And so that's how we're going to be kind of repping the community a bit this Tuesday. I don't know if I'll be able to beat the whole game.
Send me a text reminder.
I'll
try to come make
it. Oh, I definitely will. Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to be able to beat all of Part 1 in one sitting on Tuesday. I'm going to try. But yeah, on twitch.com/NASAGames. And the Extra Life, Brie, if you get the link for the because we're part of the Sac Indie Arcade team, because we have a team on Extra Life for Sac Indie Arcade, and I'm one of the people for that. I don't know if she'll be able to pull that up, but if you're in the chat, be sure to keep an eye on that. But otherwise, those are all my links. And yeah,
two other quick questions. Yes, I really got to move on with the show because we're running a little long, but that's okay. I'm sitting here, I'm passionate about games, I want to get involved with games. Hearing this has made me realize I don't necessarily have to know code to get involved with games.
No,
I need to meet people at my local IGDA. How do I find them?
So our meetup group, meetup.com/gamedeveloper. It is as easy as that.
Is that good anywhere in the world?
So yeah, anywhere in the world. So yeah, meetup.com/gamedeveloper. That's our chapter's meetup group. Be sure to check us out there. There's other links for our Facebook, our Instagram, and so on and so forth. But definitely go there. And yes, the two things I ask for, if you're going to come talk to us, you need to be in this for the love of the development. I don't need you walking up in my group saying, I've got this great money-making idea, because I've had a few people do that, and I've happily showed them the door, like, don't come back, because this is not why we're doing this. We hope to make money, but that's not why I need you here. We're trying to create a job market right now, and if that's how you're going to be, I can't have that right now. So, because that doesn't help.
I'm laughing because, again, the parallels to my own world.
I'm telling you,
fucking uncanny.
It's crazy. It's crazy stuff. But I mean, but yeah. So the Extra Life link. Oh man, yeah, I can't even follow that. Anyway, so yeah, sorry. If you're in the chat, yeah, so extralife.com. So or .org.
Does that game developer meetup, is that like, if I, because you know, remember our audience is all over the world. Let's say I've got somebody in New York City. We have a few listeners there that wants to join the New York City IGDA, of which I'm sure there's one in every borough. How could they find the IGDA in their area?
So yeah, so IGDA.org, and there's a section for chapters, and there's a ton of chapters. Go there, check it out, and I haven't been there in a while, but the chapters list the actual chapter head for each location, and you'll be able to reach out to them.
She posted a more friendly vert link to the Extra Life, so it's www.extra-life.org/team/SacIndieArcade.
Yes, thank you.
Bree's like our living, breathing Rolodex.
Yeah, and thank you, Bree, because
with you next time. Where is she?
I know she's home. Yeah, she's home right now. But you know, and she got with her work schedule too. She works so much earlier. But yeah, Bree, I saw what you said. I know, even though you're not here. But yes, thank you. You're still helping me out. But yeah, but that's ultimately it. You just come with the drive, come and come with a genuine attitude that you're ready to make a difference, and show others what you know, because we're all about sharing knowledge. You know, if you come with that arrogant attitude, I'm gonna wipe the floor with you, and I'm gonna I will ruin your day. I will be the original ending in Mass Effect 3 and destroy many people's lives. You're gonna wish for an alternative,
focus on the positive.
Yeah, unlike
we're gonna make a game.
We're gonna make a game.
I'm
gonna put you in a fucking special thanks.
So definitely come through with a great attitude. You know, even if you're shy, I prefer shyness over nasty, arrogant crap. We don't have time for all that. So yeah, so definitely come through and check us out. And I have to say, someone says something really, really quick. Then, God, I don't want to take up too much time on this one. Someone says, Dungeon Buster. He made the quote, "We're here to make games, not massage egos." Thank you. That's it. That's precisely it. That's precisely it.
You want to be part of a team.
Yeah. Or even feel that if you still want to be a solo act in your game development, that you want to be empowered. We talked about the feedback thing earlier. You have to be prepared for all this sort of thing. So we have to be supportive and give each other that constructive criticism. But we're here to empower each other, not push each other aside. So absolutely.
All right. One last thing before we yes, move on with the rest of our show.
Yeah.
Any teases for next year's Indie Arcade event?
So we will 99% sure be back at the West Sac Community Center. There is that 1% opportunity. I can't say yet because it's still early in discussion.
Yeah, my brain says you're going to outgrow that place by next year.
Some people have said we've already outgrown the West Sac place. It's like, wait, it's only our first time.
Well, they could have used the second floor. There's still more room on the second floor they could have grown into. So I don't think you've quite filled that space entirely, but I am worried for you guys that you're growing, which is good. That's great.
It's a great problem to have. And yeah, it's going to be interesting what happens for the next one. We've already have our keynote speaker. So you remember Michelle? Michelle, the last speaker
she was on the team that made Evolve, right?
Yeah, Evolve and Mafia 3, making Mafia mm-hmm. 3. Yeah, so Michelle Smith from 2K Games, she's going to be our keynote.
Good, she was great.
She was phenomenal, and she's a Sacramento native, and there's no other person I would ask to be our keynote for this upcoming thing. So she's going to be our keynote. We're planning a number of other things. I will tease. I think I'm okay to say this because my event, but we are playing. We incorporated the board game aspect, which was a great response for the board game developers. We are planning to incorporate pinball for our next one. So stay tuned.
Okay, I like that tease. That's good. And by the way, if we want to talk about panels, maybe we want to get involved this year.
I would love to. It would be an honor to have you guys as a panel. Please.
Let's talk about that.
Please.
All right.
Be awesome.
No pressure.
I was going to ask y'all anyway.
Be there with bells on no matter what.
Yes, sir.
Let's move on. We got plenty of news we got to cover, but of course we have to talk about our gaming weeks. I was at Dragon Con last week, which is why we didn't have a show. I got to talk a little bit about that. Let's get into our gaming weeks. We'll try to quickly move through this, but we'll see. Loki, how was your gaming week?
I played a lot of stuff, but I didn't. I did stick with my I'm not playing Tap My Katamari because it erased my progress. So I didn't. Instead, I played Nonstop Night, which is yet another mobile game. Thankfully, though, this is not a clicker game because there's nothing you really click except for special abilities every now and then. It's more of a clicker game without the clicking, if that makes sense. And it's much more simplified, and actually it's kind of fun because it is very easy to cheat in. So that is that's what I'm... It's honestly, though, the cheating, at this point, I'm like so high level that it doesn't affect anything. But it's kind of neat. There's a little bit of strategy to it, so there's kind of that. But it's a good time waster, so I'm playing that. I played a little bit of Ingress, not much Pokemon Go, and more stories later, but I may not be playing much Pokemon Go. I'm not too happy with Niantic right now.
All right. Hey, Gabe, what do you play games besides just making them? What have you been playing?
Yeah, I've been... I've been dabbling more again, and I seem to talk about this every time I'm on this show, my Earth Defense Force 4.1, because they just announced unofficially Part 5 is coming out, which I expected to be a thing, and that's great. So I've been rocking that on my PS4. I've been playing Horizon 2, Forza Horizon 2 again, because the Horizon 3 demo came out today. So
it was today?
Yes, the demo came out. Yeah, and the only reason
I know you're going to be doing later.
The only
I thought it was still in that soon area.
Well, here's the thing. The only reason I knew is because Microsoft sent me a code for the Halo vehicle, the Warthog. They sent me a code that you could drive the Warthog in Forza Horizon 3.
That's ridiculous.
It's
I love
insanity.
It.
So when I redeemed the code, it took me to the page that said, okay, you'll be able to use this here and here. But in the description, it said this vehicle will be applicable for Forza Horizon 3 and all these different versions that they mentioned, and it said the different editions, and then at the bottom it said a demo. I said, bullshit, what demo? So I clicked further and it said demo coming out September 11th.
I heard when it was coming, I didn't realize it was today.
Yeah, nice. it was this evening. So I've been playing that. And then I've actually been funny enough, I started playing again DuckTales Remastered. I was playing that again because I got stuck on the very, very last level and I just decided to start over. And then I've been playing Chrono Trigger on my Super Nintendo, and it's probably one of the best decisions I've ever made, because God help me, that game. Whew. Yeah, so all yeah, right. So that's what I've been rocking out.
Look at you, going from new stuff to old school. Mm-hmm. Love it. My gaming week, speaking of new stuff. Okay, so I spent the weekend at Dragon Con, which is why I wasn't here, which, by the way, I just want to give a quick shout out to Dragon Con and the people that I met there. I had a great time on the podcasting track. We did end up doing a panel after all on Sunday about social media, and I had a really good time. And it was just... we have presented the Parsec Awards, which was great because, yet again, they gave us the spot right at the very end, next to last. So it's really something to be on the stage right before Richard Garriott, a.k.a. Lord British, who, like, made Ultima, which is a series, you know, that I grew up with. It's just an honor to be in his presence and so forth, and you know, all the great talent that goes with podcasting and all that. So just you know, my hat's off to everything involved there. And Dragon Con this year, you know, that is not usually an event that's big on gaming. You know, Dragon Con has always been big on other types of fandom, be it sci-fi, Dungeons and Dragons, board gaming, you know, but I was always told ever since the first year I went, don't expect a big video gaming presence. But I got to say, this year, they started to step it up quite a bit. And I think this is because of a partnership they have with MomoCon, which also happens in Atlanta.
Yeah.
There's some type of strategic partnership thing going on there. So this year they had Tokyo Attack there, who actually had a 24/7 arcade running of Japanese import video games.
What?
So I was playing Papa Music over and over and over again.
Oh,
it was fun. They had U-Beat, like six machines. I finally got to play a re-rave machine for the first time. So if Kyle's still out there somewhere, I finally played a re-rave machine.
Nice.
For the first time. So yeah, that was an awesome addition to Dragon Con.
Did you meet dragons though?
There were definitely cosplays of dragons. they call Dragon Con the Super Bowl of cosplay, and for good reason.
Nice.
There is some really elaborate stuff
that
happens there. So yeah, I had a great time. There was also a classic gaming arcade that was set up in the dealer hall. That wasn't 24-hour, but it was still nice to see. Mm. I got to play a Mortal Kombat 2 machine, which I haven't in a long time.
Oh my God,
I still remember how to chop somebody's head off with katana, and that felt really good.
That's awesome when you can remember not have to pull it up on your game FAQs. Hell yeah.
I actually got to beat some rando guy. We were playing Mortal Kombat. I think he was Johnny Cage and I was Katana. And I remembered block, 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 high kick, and bye-bye.
That's fantastic.
Chopped off your head.
Oh, I still remember that for Scorpion. So kudos to you, man.
Felt good.
That's great.
All right. And let's see. JD in chat says, what did you think of the re-rave, Sky? They have one at Sunnyvale Golfland, by the way. If you've played the iPhone game, which if you're a fan of music games, you really ought to have by now. If you haven't, friendly reminder to try it, because it's a great little touch game. And, you know, it just felt like that, but on a much larger touch screen, because this thing is huge. It's the size of a large television, but it's a touchpad. And so for that, it makes it almost harder for your eyes to get a sense of what all is on the play field at once. But I'd like to touch the big button. I like to touch the big screen and touch it. It's fun. So yeah, I enjoyed it. Let's see. Okay. So also at Dragon Con. So Bobby, you know, he does a lot with VR and AR and all that development. So mm-hmm. Our pal Bobby Blackwolf was there, and we had for the first time this year what we were calling the VOG suite.
Oh my god.
Because we actually had a suite at one of the host hotels.
Oh, so
and
cool.
So Bobby brought his toys, and we all got to try them. So for the first time ever, I got to try the Vive, the HTC Vive. And
what
I got to see some demos in that. That was cool. I mean, I was a fan of VR since I checked out Oculus Rift for the first time, so it was just cool to see some of the stuff in that. I watched other people play Job Simulator, which was cracking me up. We were laughing till 3 a.m. playing Job Simulator, and I really liked the Angry Birds type thing they had, but it was all Portal characters, which I think is a game called The Lab that has it's like Valve's, you know, kind of VR playground game a la Wii Sports sort of thing. So that was cool to see. But I was really all about, because I got to try for the first time the HoloLens, because he actually has a HoloLens dev kit.
Yeah.
So for the first time, I got to try HoloLens, and the game that he had me play on HoloLens was called Fragments. And it's pretty fucking cool.
I'm smiling because one of our developers has lent me the HoloLens because he got it. He got it as part of the pre-order.
That's not a cheap lens, by the way.
No,
I was
it's
told
not.
How much those things cost. And
yes.
You,
your life.
Yeah.
It cost you your life.
Well, here's the thing. So the HoloLens, you configure it and it actually scans the room. So it knows where couches are. It knows where tables are. It knows where things are. So this game Fragments is like a crime scene type game. So it's like a frozen moment in time of a crime scene of a kidnapping, basically. I'm not going to spoil too much, but it's like a kidnapping. Mapping basically. And so you look, what you're trying to do is determine where are they, because you can see the kid and the kidnapper, and you're trying to determine where do you send the cops. So you're investigating things in the room, and suddenly you might look at the wall and, oh, there's a brick sticking out of the wall. So you actually pick up the brick and turn it around, and you might see that, oh, it's N-O something something, so it's the New Orleans is where you're supposed to go type of thing, is N-O. So, or you might find that, you know, lying on the couch is a ticket that for the ferry or something. So you actually kind of have to look around the room looking for things that are out, and you even look up at the ceiling and you can see that it's raining. So you know that the scene is happening somewhere in the US right now where it's raining. So there's little clues like that that you have to put together. So I thought that was really cool. That was like playing like a 90s adventure game, but instead of clicking on things that are in the scene, you're looking around you at the scene and actually touching them and interacting with them. And I just thought that was such a neat...
That's super cool.
That was just such a cool use. And then when you're actually watching the cutscenes, here's the crazy shit. So since it scanned the room already, you'll be watching like the chief and her two assistants or whatever. They're all talking and having a conversation. One of them will be sitting on your couch and then suddenly stand up as part of the scene and stuff. It's like, okay, so like it knew that you had a couch because it put this character on the couch, and so I just thought that was so rad.
That's
how like it
wicked.
Actually
like
used
that.
The room. So I would. Now here's the thing: the one drawback to HoloLens is that the field of vision very very small.
Absolutely,
it's like sitting right in front of a big screen TV type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know, it's very obvious where the holographic stuff begins and where it ends. So I don't think it's ready for prime time, so to speak.
Oh, definitely not. The plan with the HoloLens was going to be that, and this is why they released it now. And they released this now because the idea is that for the next probably 3 years, three or so years, us as developers are supposed to get completely comfortable with the HoloLens. And the goal right now, from what I've learned, again, this could obviously change. It's to be earlier or later, but 2019 is supposed to be the year that the first actual full-on games for the commercial or consumer version of the HoloLens supposed to be for 2019 at some point. So
I'm not totally, you know, what the experience I played was neat. I don't know what other types of games are going to be doable on this. I mean,
I'm going to make for it. So yeah,
you have to think about games differently, I think, in order to make for the HoloLens. And, you know, Bobby's kind of had this conversation about, well, he sees it more as like something that's going to benefit, you know, in non-gaming types of areas, just like Kinect kind of had some of its biggest successes in hospitals and things like that, you know, things that had nothing to do with games. And HoloLens may end up being very similar. And that may be true, but I think there's going to be some great gaming experiences in this thing. And I think you're right. By them getting it out so early, at least, people can really think about, you know, have plenty of time to consider what's that game going to look like. But I got to say, I kind of like everything I had heard about HoloLens was pretty tepid, because I think they were showing things like, here's the Halo experience. And everybody's too focused on, well, you can't see. I mean, the field of vision sucks. Da, 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 da. But this concept for this game that I saw was like, okay, this shows me something that you can't even do this in VR.
Right. No, you can't. Right. Absolutely.
And definitely sells the difference between, here's the difference between holographic gaming and virtual reality.
Yeah.
So I thought that was just, I thought it was neat.
Absolutely. And I saw the HoloLens, I see the HoloLens as a great supplement, just like VR, I see the HoloLens as a great supplemental piece for game development and gaming, mm-hmm. not so much primary, which I think that's what a lot of people are quickly, impulsively jumping to. It's like, oh, this is going to be the next great gaming experience. Like, no, I think it's going to be a good supplemental gaming experience as an add-on. But it, you know, Virtual Boy tried, and we already saw what happened with that. So just don't do that.
We've come a long way since
We've come a long way since then, yeah.
We've come a long way since then. Quickly, I want to talk about some other games I played this week. Overwatch is having a free weekend on PlayStation 4, so I finally got to play with some of my pals like Xtfer and Flacco Jones on PlayStation.
Xbox also.
It is X&X. It is on Xbox One. It is so fucking hard to play on a controller when you've been playing on keyboard and mouse for so long. Like, it's just, it feels weird, especially playing something like Farah, where I'm used to using the right mouse button to levitate. Like, now in this, it's like, okay, I have to use L1 to fly up and then L2 to levitate. It's just, it took me a long time to get used to, and my aim still feels ridiculous, but, you know, playing with friends has been fun. Am I going to double dip the $50 to buy it again? No, I'm sorry to my friends on console, but just, I can't justify that. And I think it's a little ridiculous that Blizzard knows it's me. Because I tied my battle tag to it a long time ago with Diablo or something, which I guess I did kind of double dip on, but in my defense, the PC version had been free with World of Warcraft.
Right,
so,
yes.
But I'm not going to double dip on Overwatch. If they knock the price down to $20, maybe, but it's Blizzard. That's not going to happen for a good long time. But it was still fun to check out. Speaking of World of Warcraft, I've been playing Legion now that I'm back from Dragon Con. Hey, the new expansion, pretty darn good, I got to say.
I've heard it brought back, I think, 3 million new people because of that expansion.
You know, it's very interesting how they've really taken out a lot of the, you go to this zone to do these levels, then you go to this zone to do these levels, and they've kind of taken more of an approach of, nah, everything scales. Everything scales till you get to 110, so you do things in the order that you want to do for the story. And that alone is really, I don't know, it's just really changed a lot of the feel of the game, and it kind of gets you more into the quests, and, you know, the dungeons really feel now more like an end piece to a storyline in a zone. It's just, it's very, very interesting the way they've done it. I'm into it.
But isn't that, and maybe this is a dumb question, I apologize if this almost sounds ignorant, but isn't that the point? I don't know how it was initially, because I haven't touched, I played 2 hours of WoW at the start, and that was, I couldn't do it anymore.
No,
but I just,
because you would kind of feel this pressure to just, fuck how you get there. You just need to get to the max level as fast as you can. So
right.
Once you're ready to go to a new zone, you just kind of stop where you're at and you go to that next zone.
Mm-hmm.
That's been a lot of how you've been playing MMOs in general till today. This one kind of stops, says, you know what? There's no, you just do whatever you want and everything's going to scale. And so it's really kind of changed the game in that regard.
Interesting.
So
that's
if you haven't played WoW in a little while, Legion's kind of worth checking out. I got to say, I've been enjoying it. Nice. I've enjoyed it more than Draenor, for sure. Pandaria, I think it's probably a better expansion than Pandaria and probably a better expansion than Cataclysm. It's a little early to say for sure because I need to play more of it and see what the end game looks like and, more importantly, what the support looks like. But
you said
encouraged. I'm very encouraged that they're already talking about 7.1. That's very encouraging.
Okay.
That Blizzard may be remedying what was their weakest point.
Oh, awesome.
Still trying to play Final Fantasy 14, though, even with the WoW, because Final Fantasy 14 had an anniversary event going on. I had to check that out. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I'm a little MMO'd out almost, but never. Okay, one more thing I got to talk about. Luminous is out on iPhone. So, do you remember last week or 2 weeks ago we talked about Luminous and we were like, oh, it's new portrait mode. And we're like, no, that's not the orientation. No, it is. Portrait mode is the new orientation. You now play vertically with Luminous, which was kind of weird to see at first.
Oh.
It works, but and Luminous on mobile phones has Shinin. They've got the classic pack that has all the old school songs. Very, very cool.
Really?
Here's the biggest problem with Luminous. It's on a touch phone. That's the biggest problem with Luminous because, again, the direction, the left-right movements and down to move the piece down and touch, it's just not responsive enough. And I need to remind myself anytime that I think a console experience is going to make for a good iPhone experience, it's not. If it's just going to be a port
or
of
vice versa,
what it is, which y'all are going to try to get me in a few minutes here when we talk about one of the big stories of the week from me just saying that. But there's a big difference between porting something that was originally on consoles and designing something with the mobile space in mind.
Mm-hmm.
So that being said, I still think if you're a fan of Luminous, it's what, $3? It's worth checking out. It's far better than the one they put out years ago when I think the 4 was the iPhone that was going around. It's far better and more responsive than that. But from a precision standpoint, I just think if you're good at Luminous and you need the precision that comes with being good, you're going to get really fucking frustrated that it's touch controls. But Shinin'.
Yeah,
that song rocks.
That's a good call. That's a good call on that. So yeah, good look on that. Wow.
So there you go. That was my gaming week. Some quick announcements. Then we got to get into the news. I got to plug GamerX 4. We're going to be there. We're going to be at GamerX 4 at a table in like 3 weeks. I can't believe it's coming up that soon. But VOG Network will be there at a table. Myself, Dark Sakura, Shane now telling me he might go. So that's pretty cool. And a panel Sunday. 2 o'clock, the Indie Gamer Super Show with myself, Dark Sakura, Captain Spike from GameBuoy.org, and whoever else we pull onto our thing at the last minute.
Oh, congrats, man.
That's going to be fun.
Wonderful.
I'm very excited. Are you going? Because I know IGDA has a presence this year.
I've heard bits and pieces a bit about it, but I don't know. Like, I tried to myself get a table for NASA Games, but budget-wise, it was out of my budget at the time. Yeah. I don't know too much about that. I know there's been a little more talk about the Mag West thing, because apparently Mag West is doing they're having a gathering later this month in San Jose.
I think they're doing the arcade portion of whatever's going on at GamerX too. So I think
make sense.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I don't know, since I haven't seen you in a little while, I already have my hotel and tickets for MAGFest 2017, just so you know.
Nice.
I'm going to be there. I don't know if you're going back, but
I'm hoping to go back. I've reconnected with them recently, so we're hoping. Yeah.
Good. Good. Sounds good. All right. And then the Dragon Con Super Show. So we did have a new show on VOG last week. We actually taped in the VOG suite. We did a special show with hosts from this show, Bobby Blackwolf, Pod Culture, British Invaders, Critical Myth. I'm leaving somebody out and I'm going to hate myself for it later. But there, people came together from all those shows. And we did this super show that's going to be available. Here's the thing. Since it wasn't really something to podcast, it's not going to be on the podcast feed. It's going to be on YouTube. So Bobby's putting that all together right now, putting all the B-roll in. I don't know when, but it will be on YouTube.
Moving on.
Yeah, I know. We're trying to get our... trying to warm up to that a little more.
Do it! I've been only pushing you since the day I met you.
I thought I said British Invaders. Did I not say British Invaders?
You said British Invaders.
Yeah, I thought I did.
Oh, okay.
That's what Brad from Paco just said. So anyway, hopefully I didn't leave anybody out, but we did a fun little show there. So, and that's probably a tradition we'll continue next year. We'll see. Okay, we got to get to some gamer news. We're only, an hour and a half into the show? Let's get to some news. Loki.
So Apple had their conference where they talked about the new phone and everything. But one of the announcements that they had, which is kind of odd, was Nintendo was there. And it's like, what the fuck? Why is Nintendo here? And so they had some game announcements. The first one is Super Mario Run, which is going to be coming to iOS first. It's a mobile game of endless runner, if you will, where you're Mario and you jump on platforms. Or
you could just play New Super Mario Brothers on the Wii U and have a better experience. Anyway, I'm done.
I don't know. I'm not so ready to write it off, because one of Nintendo's biggest strengths, always has been, always will be, is level design.
Yeah,
and so even though we're calling this an endless runner, it's not really endless, because it looks like there's definitely these set up stages and so forth, and it just looks like the way things are set up, there's going to be a definite, there's the obvious path, and then there'll be the path that includes all the red coins and all that other fun stuff. And so I just feel like there'll probably be more depth to this than your typical quote-unquote endless runner. So I'm curious. I want to know what the price is going to be. That's the big thing for me. Is this going to be a $3 game? If so, fuck yeah.
It's going to have in-app purchases, though.
It's not. It's a free demo, and the in-app purchase is the game. That's it.
Yeah, they wrote off the in-app purchase thing. They say we're not going to do that.
I know that's what the description said.
Yeah, no, the description says that because the game will be the one-level demo, and then the in-app purchase is the rest of it, which a lot of other games do.
Yeah.
But here's, you know, could it be a $20 game? Because honestly, Nintendo could get away with it.
No.
Square Enix does.
Yeah, and that's funny you said that. I was gonna say they pulled it off. They did it with Final Fantasy.
Yeah,
Everybody be prepared. Square Enix for
be
that.
Prepared. I think they're gonna charge $19.99 for it. I think they will. I think they're gonna be that bold.
My hope is $9.99, but I fear you might be right. But I hope $9.99. Yeah.
Well, that's good. They can charge whatever the fuck they want for it.
I'll
won't
still
buy
it. I will.
Part of the problem.
I will. I don't. I know it's gonna be solid.
Part of the problem. Man.
Level design. I know.
However, other things that were kind of in little footnotes there, they're going to have a Fire Emblem game and Animal Crossing.
Oh,
Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to do pretty well.
Well, actually, those games, though, even though they talked about those games were supposed to be out, I believe, by this holiday.
Yeah.
And they just they subtly put in there that Fire Emblem and Animal Crossing are now going to be coming out before the end of March 2017. So those games quietly getting delayed in favor
of
Super Mario
mobile
Run.
Mobile games be for the NX?
Could be.
Oh, well, who knows?
I think there's going to be I hate speculation, but I had to have a little fun with it anyway. Whatever the NX is going to be is going to have a straight up tie into why they're releasing the games their games on iPhone. I think they're going to try to pull almost please forgive me guys, but I almost smell the same approach that Ouya did, where the next console is going to be, yeah, you can play it on our console, you know, but you'll also be able to download it here and play it here, and there'll be some maybe cross-play or something like that.
Kind of vomited in my mouth a little bit when you said that.
That's why I apologize in advance, but I'm just saying, because like just these announcements are really, really
I gotta
weird.
Say, the Mario thing, it did throw me for a loop a little bit. I wasn't props to Apple, props to Nintendo. I wasn't expecting that.
Sorry, Black Wolf, I now, see your
it was courageous as of them to put it on the platform.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Just so you know, though, they did say it's coming to Android as well. So you're not going to get left in the cold if you're on Android.
Thank God.
It's just iPhone first or something like that, right?
That's a relief.
Well, one of those
cares.
Type of things.
But yeah. then that leaves a question. That raises a question about what happens with the next DS.
Well, that's what I want to know. That's why this surprised me, because I was like, well, wait, hold up. If the NX is going to be part portable, then why is suddenly Nintendo going third party on another platform, and all of a sudden all this endless ocean of wank that we have on Twitter about Nintendo should put Super Mario on the PlayStation 4? It's like, shut up, that's never going to happen. But it's like, it kind of just fucking did this
if
week.
You ever write a book, you need to call it that.
Endless ocean
my
of
endless
wank.
Ocean of wank.
I thought
that's what I tell
I
the boys
we
on Grindr.
But we already had a similar title for that. Remember, it was peeing in, it was like pissing in an ocean of piss or something like that.
That's right. That's right. That'll be the OLR documentary or the behind the music on the making of Q-Chip. Anyway, no. If they ever did a documentary on the making of Kinship, you know it's going to be called Special Thanks.
Yeah. Word up.
Anyway.
You heard that, fools.
I was just. Now, here's the thing. They made it very clear it's not a traditional Mario game, because Mario is obviously doing the endless running thing. You don't have to do the left and right control.
There's no buttons.
Well, and having played Luminous, let me tell you, it's not going to fucking work, and I'm glad they don't have Mario going left and right and all that. This is how you make it work, is you have one button. This game is played with one button.
Mm-hmm.
Touch. Touch, touch, touch.
Yep.
That's how the game works. That's it. Mm-hmm. So if you want a more in-depth Mario experience, you're going to have to go to the NX. But at the same time, hasn't Nintendo told us that 2D Mario is kind of like Mario Maker was kind of the swan song for 2D Mario? Here comes your encore during the week we were off.
Please,
it's coming out on 3DS.
Come on. They're doing new Super Mario Brothers games, which are basically 2D Mario games. It's just they look dumb. They're not 2D. Do, like, seriously, like, fucking get the Rayman team on a fucking 2D Mario game or any Zelda title. You know, hand-drawn, hand-painted Mario game. That would be fucking... I'm sorry, they did that already. They had Wario Land Shake, which was fantastic looking, just no one played it.
I put up a tweet actually a couple days ago about when we, I know we'll talk later about this with Interplay and their, and them selling their assets, and all I said was Earthworm Jim, Ubisoft Rayman Origins Legends team. That's what I need to see. So yeah, that's what I want to see. But I hope you're wrong though. I hope the Merrymakers not the swan song, because I really would love to see, you know, those type of pixel, you know, those type of graphics again. But yeah, God, I hope you're wrong.
Let me go to some chat comments over at live.vognetwork.com. Ranma in our chat says, iPhone users can lose their shit over Super Mario Run, but us Android users still have our headphone jacks. Oh, yes. But see, here's the thing you Android users get with your Note 7s. When you beat Super Mario Run and the fireworks go off at the end of the stage, your phone also blows up. That's what you get bonus? As a Note 7 user.
That's just all called right. a bonus.
Well, that's all right, you know, because at least we don't have one of those iPhones that you can bend in half like a cracker.
I thought that joke is so 2014. Come on. We're past the
like
bendable
those
iPhones.
Stupid 3.5 millimeter... You know, phone jack.
Look,
audio jack.
Here's my thing. I have upgraded iPhone every time I'm eligible. I'm not going to get an iPhone 7. Actually, it has nothing to do with the headphone jack thing. It's just, okay, it's a new camera.
Yeah, that's.
My six is good enough for now.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. It takes a better picture.
It takes a better selfie. JD in chat says, hey, maybe they should port Rhythm Tengoku Gold to touchscreen smartphones. I'd be down with that. That would be a good franchise. You know, we know that Nintendo was working on several. Well, now we know Mario was one of them, apparently. For whatever reason, they've bumped this to the front of the line. I'm not sure. Maybe this has to do with Pokemon and the fact that their stock went way up with Pokemon.
Namco.
Pokemon Go?
I could use some Taiko no Tatsujin.
All right. Let's move on. Loki, what do you have next? Speaking of Pokemon Go, right?
Yeah, so Pokemon Go is getting an update. They're updating finally to 0.37 or something. And what it's going to add is the ability for players to turn one of their Pokemon into a buddy. So you can basically, when you're walking or driving or whatever, they earn candy for the distance that you walk. Also, apparently, there's a nice little Easter egg where if you walk with Pikachu for 10 kilometers, he hops on your shoulder. So that's kind of neat. The update will also, I guess, make it easier to choose smaller Pokemon on the map. It'll also prevent eggs hatching without animations or something like that. And I want to say that there was something that's supposed to make leveling up easier. Oh, and fuck you for if you have a jailbroken or rooted phone, like my son does, because their fucking app is not supported on that phone. Despite the fact that it runs just perfectly fine, so I had to fucking root it to get it on there. Oh, but fuck him, because he must be a cheater, because that's what they're assuming, because they're Niantic and don't want to fucking fix their problems. Instead, they're just going to blame everybody that has a rooted phone for fucking cheating. There's already a workaround for it, but it's a pain in the fucking ass. And why should I have to, you know, spend all this effort to play your fucking game that I paid money for as well to... You know, purchase items because I thought I would kick you some money before making this game. But then here's how you fucking repay me by fucking me over.
Well, what would you expect from a studio that can't even call its version 1? It has to be 0.3. I mean, what is this? I mean, you know, what happened here?
Because the game's like, not fucking finished.
It won't ever be done. It's gonna be another No Man's Sky. So, I mean, it's like, seriously. That's unfortunate.
But you know what? You know what's good, though? I'm so glad that they focused their shit on, instead of fixing the problems, they've got Pokemon Go coming out for the new fucking iWatch or Apple thing. And, oh, it looks so fucking fantastic on that tiny little fucking screen. I'm so glad that they could focus their fucking efforts on that. But fuck all you guys. I guess fuck you if you have your own stupid rooted phone. You better fucking buy an iWatch, because at least that shit'll work. Hey, you want to know something fucking funny? You're releasing this stupid Pokemon Go Plus in, what, literally days now, that I'm going to fucking hack the shit out of, and there's not a fucking thing you can do about it. Oh, but, you know, go ahead and punish everybody that has a fucking rooted phone, because they're the fucking hackers. I don't have a rooted phone, and I'm going to hack the shit out of your shit.
The following comments are not necessarily of OLR and its affiliates.
Yeah, I say that every week, and it doesn't. Okay, so here's the thing. They actually counted how many fucks were in that segment in our chat room. 15.
That's not enough.
So, well, okay, I will say this. Like, as cute as the watch thing looks, and if I were into the Apple Watch, I'd probably be into the – if Jamie were here, she'd be raging so hard right now. But if I were into the Apple Watch thing, I'd probably be into the Pokemon Go thing because it did look cute, you know, for what the watch does.
It's awesome. And I can take both hands off the steering wheel when I play in the car.
Okay, that's funny. Okay, but it does seem a little bit reductive to the physical Pokemon Go thing that Nintendo's trying to make money off of that's coming out next week. Like, I don't fucking need that now if I have an Apple Watch, it sure seems like.
Well, no, you still do because you play the Apple Watch one just like you do the actual game. So you actually, I think you throw balls and stuff like that, but...
No, you still hatch eggs and all that stuff.
Yeah, you still do all that. But here's the thing, it's like, I mean, seriously, like... Like, I've heard rumors that one of the other reasons that they may have, you know, blocked it for rooted people is because they're going to, like, somehow abuse the device. I'm like, dude, you don't even need a rooted device. Hello, look it. Okay, the way this device works is it indicates any time that you have to push the button. It flashes a light or it rumbles. There's electricity going to that light. There's electricity going to that rumble motor. You fucking just solder a goddamn wire from that to the switch. Bada bing! It fucking auto-hacks your stupid fucking Pokestops and auto-catches fucking Pokemon by one fucking wire.
He just went Sopranos on us.
I'm with William Murderface in our chat. Loki dropped out of rant space. Someone vent the rant core breach. Good lord.
Wah, wah.
It's fucking disappointing. Now I gotta explain to my son, who fucking loves playing Pokemon Go, I'm sorry, Niantic fucking hates you because you're a cheater, so you can't play anymore.
You're not worthy, son.
I mean, seriously, he is fucking in the Pokemon like crazy now because of Pokemon Go. And now, sorry, fuck you. You don't get the play because you're a fucking cheater. Thank you.
He's almost at 20.
JD with the obvious question in chat that I have to ask as well, live.vognetwork.com. Just don't update the app on his phone.
Mm.
Oh, I'm glad you thought of that. Except Niantic also fucking thinks about that. Because, see, I have this other app called Ingress. And if you don't fucking update it, it doesn't fucking work. So that's what's going to fucking happen is because they'll check your version of it. And, oh, I'm sorry. You need to update your fucking app to play this.
26. This is great. Wow. And the most important about what he just said, for those new to counting numbers, you've just received a great lesson on how to
count. I'll put it in the review of the app.
Oh, my God. All right. Let's talk about something that maybe I just wish he'd won the goddamn Techno Motion Machine. It'd be so much nicer.
It would have been half the fucks.
He'd be like, I don't give a fuck about
it. I don't give a fuck, but life is great. I got a machine.
All right. Let's talk about Interplay. Gabe mentioned this earlier. They are going to be selling their games and intellectual property. So if you want to buy an intellectual property such as Earthworm Jim or MDK or Clay Fighter, fuck yeah.
Oh my God, Clay Fighter was awesome.
Or Descent or Battle Chess, get to it. You can actually do that. Let's see. Wedbush Securities is going to be assisting Interplay with the sales of the IP. So I'm very curious to see what happens in a couple months with who buys what.
It's moments like this that I as a startup indie studio wish I can afford to get something like that, right? Because I know that would be so beneficial for our studio, you know, for my team, especially for some of my team where they're kind of the younger generation, so they don't. No, they aren't familiar with those older games back in the, you know, early mid 90s and so on and so forth. Like, it'd be great to be like, you have no idea. Like, Earthworm Jim, you no idea. Clay Fighters.
I need you to write me a theme song like the Clay Fighter song, which actually, if you remember on the Super Nintendo, yes. I think had the vote Clay Fighter.
Clay Fighter.
It's like, yes. Oh my God. Everybody remembers that because, like, when did the fucking new Super Nintendo talk to you? During Super Metroid, right. And during Clay Fighter?
Well, NBA Jam.
Okay, one or two other times too. Come on. Right.
Very true. Very true.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase, Wolf.
Anyhow, Loki, what do you have next for us?
All right. So the next thing I have, we're going to talk a little bit about, is Mario games. And Miyamoto basically saying, hey, you know what? Mario's just not going to really work out for VR.
Damn right.
It's not going to be a good fit. And I can see that because, I mean, think about it. It's, you know, platforming, it's lots of movement. That's going to make people sick. Basically saying, you know, I agree that adapting Mario to new platforms is key to keeping him relevant, but we want families to play together, and virtual reality, which requires players to be closed off from the real world, doesn't really fit in there. We also like people playing for a long time, and it's hard to do that with VR.
You don't need VR to be closed off from the real world. That's been happening since the Atari days. That's an interesting statement.
I don't know if that's a good reason why not to do it. I mean, because if you think about it, they can still do, like, you know, like Sony's doing, where they have, you know, the multi-screen play thing, where it's almost just like the Wii U, where you had one person on a gamepad, everybody else is on the TV. You know, you could do that with VR.
But don't put Mario in VR.
Yeah, I was gonna say, but they're still stationary, and there isn't a restriction other than
besides,
just a controller.
If you really want a vomit fest, you put Sonic in VR.
Like, here's the thing.
That's just punishment. Holy shit.
And this goes back to what I was saying about, you know, fragments and the AR space and everything, is that, you know, it's gonna change the way that game developers think about games. It's like telling a painter that now instead of oil paints they have to paint with watercolor.
Well, you know,
it's a whole new canvas. So that doesn't mean the same old ideas are gonna necessarily
I don't
work.
Really take a lot of this, you know, what he says right now for I don't know, like, how much of it is just kind of a thing that he's saying right now, because if you think about it, like, if VR becomes, like, the de facto thing, of course they're going to put fucking Mario in VR. I mean, just like how they probably were saying, oh, well, we're not developing mobile games because our games are too fucking awesome for that, and here they are developing a mobile game, so I don't know.
Rob, maybe I was just high, but did you just say Mario Paint by any chance?
No, but I was comparing this to painting, so I can see why somebody would actually come at the conclusion of Mario Paint.
So, okay, cool. So I wasn't entirely losing my mind, because I just had this wild thought, like, God, Mario Paint in VR.
Which,
that would be freaking awesome.
By the way, but perfect iOS Android opportunity for Nintendo.
Mm.
Just bring back Mario Paint. Mm. And that, most of all, most importantly, that music generator thing they had in Mario Paint.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
And use the magic of the interwebs that we can send our little Mario Paint creations as text messages, and those silly little songs that we do in the music generator, we can send those to each other somehow. Just food for thought.
Yep, mm-hmm. And that'll never happen, because it's too brilliant of an idea.
All right. Anyhow, speaking of VR experiences, this one would be worthy of VR, by the way. Space Channel 5. Sega announced that there is a Space Channel 5 VR called Uki Uki Viewing Show. And when I heard that Space Channel 5 was coming to VR, wow. I about made an Uki Uki in my pants. Because I fucking love Space Channel 5.
Yeah.
And so the thought of just getting to, you know, strut along with the choo-choo right along, that just, I was so excited about that. But unfortunately, it's actually not the game. The key word is viewing show. So you get to be a program viewer of the report show. Sadly, it's not something that lets you play the rhythm game.
However, I
still go, okay, but it seems like they're testing the waters. If this does well...
That's that right there, though. See, this type of thing is why I'm hesitant with jumping in on, like, PlayStation VR. Because all these games that come out are experiences. They're not a game. It's just like... It's a thing. It's a small portion of what could be a game. It's basically like a tech demo. Why am I dropping $500 on a platform for fucking tech demos?
It's going to be a Tokyo Game Show, so some folks will get to try that out firsthand. And here's the interesting part. I just assumed it was PlayStation VR, right? It's actually not. It's a Vive. Title. So that kind of surprised me. But then again, Sega's been doing stuff for Steam, so I guess it's not as surprising. But yeah, so it's actually an experience that's going to be on the Vive. So some folks that are going to Tokyo Game Show will get to check that out. I don't know if Akuma JP is going this year, but if you are, you need to check that out for me, please. All right. Let's go to Loki with another news story.
So once again, you know, another reason, like, I bought Fallout on PlayStation 4. I was like, sweet, because I can, my laptop doesn't run these games that great, and, you know, I can also do mods. It's going to be fucking awesome, because, you know, they talked about it at E3 and everything. Yeah, unfortunately, that's not going to happen on PlayStation 4. Now, they ended up releasing mod support on Xbox back, I want to say, in May. It was supposed to be coming later for PlayStation 4. But it's just not going to happen anymore. Basically, as Bethesda put it on their website, after months of discussion with Sony, we regret to say that while we have long been ready to offer mod support on PlayStation 4, Sony has informed us they will not approve user mods the way they should work, where users can do anything they want for either Fallout 4 or Skyrim Special Edition. Like you, we are disappointed by Sony's decision to give, given the considerable amount of time and effort we put into the project, and the amount of time our fans have waited for mod support to arrive. We consider this an important initiative, and we hope to find other ways user mods can be available for the PlayStation audience. However, until Sony will allow us to offer proper mod support for PlayStation 4, that content for Fallout 4 and Skyrim on PlayStation 4 will not be available. Thank you, Sony.
Again.
I appreciate this. Is really making me warm up to your PlayStation platform.
Sony's not having a good PR.
It's just
week.
Like
they kicked so much ass at E3, and God help us with
well,
this.
Well, like, look, I mean, seriously though, the ball is in their court for a lot of shit that's just not fucking working. Like Microsoft saying, "Hey, you know what? We would do cross-platform multiplayer." So, ball's in your court, Sony. Fuck nothing, okay? And then, like, then this shit is just, oh, I'm sorry, we promised this for our players, and you bought the game based on this promise. Yeah, we're just not going to let you do that either. They're, like, so worried that their console's going to get hacked or something, or that this game would make, you know, the game crash or something like that. Who cares if it makes the game crash? It's a mod. It may do that. Put a fucking, you know, indicator.
Someone might put titties in the game, and then
Gasp.
There would be titties on your PlayStation.
Oh my heavens.
And
my
then
God.
Somebody calls Channel 10 News because the kindergartner at home saw titties.
Oh no.
When they weren't supposed
they
to. And it's Sony's
they saw
fault.
Titties. What? God of War is fucking right around the corner, anyways. There's always titties in God of War. I mean, who cares? Or there's titties in Grand Theft Auto 4 right now, or 5. I mean, so, you know, what's the big deal? There's titties already on there.
Because
it's a mature rated game.
Well, we're not a mature rated society. That's the problem. So
that's a good retort.
I've already have most of my people in my, you know, settlements without clothing anyways, because you can glitch it to do that. It's just a thing you do. So who cares? I just think it's stupid. And this right here, I'm not buying Skyrim for PlayStation 4. And if I do get an Xbox One, I will be buying multi-platform games on Xbox One, because apparently they have their shit together. Where Sony can't fucking even emulate goddamn PlayStation 1 games yet on their powerful fucking hardware.
Backwards compatibility, folks. Remember that.
It's stupid. It's PlayStation Now. Oh, well, we got PlayStation Now. No, fuck you. I don't want PlayStation Now.
Well,
I want this shit to fucking work, because I bought it already.
Well, Sony screwed themselves up anyway, because they built that PlayStation 4 so advanced, thinking, oh, Xbox One, they changed their architecture, and they essentially fell for the bluff, if you will, saying, oh, well, if Xbox One's not going to be able to play backwards compatibility, that means we're in the clear now, because Microsoft said, no, our next system is not going to be able to play 360 games, and then Microsoft went all ninja on Sony and said, hey, surprise, through a nice software update and Windows 10, we've just made a couple hundred games, and that just screwed Sony
it's
up.
It's sad. They're doing backwards compatibility better. They're doing multiplayer support better. They're supporting, you know, innovative things on their platform. It's just weird that that's happening.
Well, and it's also directly correlated to when they threw one president out and got another one.
Yeah.
So I'm
that's
just saying.
Right. Knock down the 1%, fools.
All right. Dungeon Buster in chat over
What's
at
live.fognetwork.com
saying Bethesda pretty much threw Sony under the bus. Yeah, they did.
Hell yeah.
Bethesda put Sony in the special thanks.
Yes.
That's what they did. There were
Thanks,
rightly
Sony.
So, because they put the effort into it, and Sony's like, "Yeah, we're not doing it."
There were a bunch of issues, such as mods not having any sound, because the PlayStation 4 uses a proprietary sound format that they needed to work around. So, All right. Anyhow, how would you like? Speaking of Microsoft, I mean, how crazy would it be if suddenly a Nintendo emulator came out for the Xbox One? Then, boy, Microsoft
what?
Would probably get even more fans if they were to do that. And it looked like for a little bit this week that it might be happening through the emulator Nesbox actually said on Twitter that their application had passed Microsoft's certification process for the Xbox, and so it looked like the Nesbox was going to be coming out on the Xbox One. But a mere 2 days later, and I can't possibly imagine what happened, but a mere 2 days later, all of a sudden, not only did this emulator get yanked from potentially coming to the Xbox One, it got yanked from the mobile phone, and I think it's on the Windows 10 stores, or it's on the one of the Windows stores fronts as well, mm-hmm. which is interesting that, okay, well, we'll put emulators on those storefronts, you know.
Yep.
Nobody's paying attention to Windows Phone anyway, so what the fuck? We'll just let emulators on this platform, because literally nobody's watching. Mm-hmm. So... But, oh, no, the minute you say you're going to put it on the Xbox, now we're going to have a problem. That's what actually happened here, is that, and the reason was, apps that are targeted to Xbox One are primarily gaming experiences must be approved through the ID at Xbox program.
Yep.
And that was the excuse they used to yank it all.
Which makes sense, because the ID at Xbox program, they only care about the Xbox stuff. Because do you know how many emulators and ROMs are on the Windows mobile platform? I had a Windows phone.
I had no idea.
Do you know? Oh my God, it was so easy to find Super Mario World. Just Super Mario World and just play on my Windows phone.
How is that legal?
No one cared because what's
Windows Phone?
Wow. Right, it was a Windows Phone that, you
all
know,
two people.
None of the seven people were that were playing it, you know, that have the phone, were gonna be like, oh my God, Microsoft, look what's happening. Oh no. So yeah, no, absolutely not. So I'm not. Yeah. So that's the only reason they got called out, was because of exactly that. It, you know, they added it to Xbox. If it was on the Windows 10, the UWP, the Universal Windows Platform, none would have happened at all. That's just hilarious.
All right, well, all this talk of emulators and things in the past makes me think it's time to open the gaming vault with the classic game of the week. Every week, of course, Dark Sakura steps into the gaming vault and finds a game that she thinks, hey, you guys should be playing this game this week. And thanks to the magic of radio magic, here she is, Dark Sakura.
How'd you find me under all this stuff?
It was a difficult task, but it had to be done.
I'm too busy playing my Demon Hunter.
We miss you already, Dark Sakura, but I'm glad we can have you this way. You're having fun with Demon Hunter?
Yes, I am.
Demon Hunty?
Demon Hunty, yes. Demon Hunties.
You liking the new WoW expansion?
I am, because I like Illidan.
Good.
He needs to be my secret demon boyfriend.
Is that just what they need to do more often in World of Warcraft, to just bring back old stuff? Because that seems to work well for them.
Then it just needs to be all Space Goats and Illidan. Because he's like my favorite anti-hero. I don't think he's a bad guy.
That could be the next expansion, Space Goats.
We already had Space Goats.
Well, we already had Illidan.
We had Draenor. That was Space Goats.
Anyway, she's going to step into the gaming vault and find a game for you guys to pay a little respect to this week in the classic game of the week.
Respect your motherfucking elders.
And this is an elder.
It is.
Video gaming.
It's older than a lot of you.
It actually
could have birthed some of you.
That is a sad, sad truth.
Yes.
What is the classic game of the week, Dark Sakura?
I was five.
I was two.
Okay. You were five too?
No, I was two. The classic game of the week is...
Tempest. Not Tempest 2000.
Which we've done before.
Not TXK, which is fucking awesome and everyone needs to play it. Get a Vita right now. It's the reason to have a Vita. It's Tempest. It came out in 1981, babies.
Oh, then I was three. Just kidding.
Okay, whatever. Make me feel old. It came out by Atari, and it was designed by some guy named Dave. And my husband is texting me while I am doing the classic game. Dave Thurer. It takes place on this kind of tube thing. It is a three-dimensional game, but it was done in vector, the original was. And so this surface is sometimes a tube, sometimes it's planar. But you can basically move this little claw-shaped spaceship named Blaster around the playfield from segment to segment. It was also one of the first games that used Atari's Color Quadrascan vector display. And... you also got to choose your starting level, and it was called the skill step that Atari called it. You also could increase your maximum starting level depending on your performance in the previous game, so you could keep continuing from there. And it was one of the first video games that had progressive level design. As far as the way that the object of the game, you just basically have to survive as long as possible and score as many points as possible by cleaning off the screen of
baddies. Which is harder than it sounds.
Oh my god, Tempest is a whore. Because you pay for it. You fucking pay for it. Okay. Anyway, you get...
Who's Tempest? Why are you calling her such horrible things on this program, Dark Sakura?
Tempest is a 50-year-old drag queen. Sorry. Not sorry. The player's ship gets to shoot rapid-fire shots down the screen, and little enemies are trying to come up that segment that you happen to be on. You also get a thing called a super zapper, and it destroys all the enemies on the field. Enemies will also have different kinds of behaviors. Like, one of them will leave a spike as they travel up the little section. And so when you're moving on to the next play field, the spike can impale you. Impale. And they also can go up to the top of the screen and try to capture your little blaster ship. And then when you destroy all the enemies on the playfield, you get warped to the next level. And so that's pretty much Tempest. It has 16 screens with different shapes on them. Some, like I said, are closed, and some of them are open fields that have, you know, real endpoints. And each of them has a different color scheme based on difficulty level, including invisible, which are for level 65 to 80.
Okay. People actually saw level 65, because I knew that there were, like, red fields, but, like, I never saw anything but blue stage. Wait, I think maybe, like, one time on a port of this game, maybe, for, like, Commodore 64, I think I saw red, which is, like, the next highest up.
I see red when I play that game.
I just like playing this in the arcade, because you had the little nub that you would turn back and forth, and you could just spin it.
It felt like you liked playing with the nub?
Yeah, I like playing with the nub once in a while.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is the nub like being played with?
Yeah. Once in a while.
Okay. Anyway, the game was supposed to be, in concept, a 3D remake of Space Invaders. But it had different problems, so the...
Really? Because it looks nothing like it.
Yeah. The creator, though, said that he got the design from a dream where monsters were crawling out of a hole in the ground. So the game started off as Aliens to Vortex, and finally it was Tempest. And there were different cases, different cabinets for it. There was the upright one. There was also a shorter cabaret-style cabinet that... it was a little... I don't think that they made as many of them. And then there was a cocktail style that allowed two players to play at opposite ends. But the screen would flip, of course, vertically for each of the players.
Not that it really mattered in this game.
Yeah.
If the screen didn't flip, oh well. I mean, well, except maybe left and right would kind of be screwed up, and that would make your nub turning a lot less fun.
Well, Jeff Minter came later and created two authorized sequels. One of them was Tempest 2000, which I have done as classic game, because it's awesome.
But, like, years ago. It was, like, one of the first classic games, like, years ago.
And it came out for the Atari Jaguar, and the PlayStation version was called Tempest X3.
Was there anything else worth owning on the Jaguar?
What was it?
Besides Tempest 2000?
Wasn't it, like, an Astol game? No.
It was, like, an Aliens and Predator game or something.
No, I thought that there was another, like, little 2D platformer that came out on it. Was it... It wasn't Astol. It was...
Okay, but seriously,
Rystar?
Tempest 2000 was the
Was
game.
It Rystar?
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay. And then there was Tempest 3000 for the new on DVD players. And then Minter did two more games that were inspired by Tempest. Space Giraffe in 2007... and TXK, which came out on the PlayStation Vita, which has been getting a lot of play in my house now that I have a PlayStation TV. That and Ultra Despair Girls. So, it's had different ports. It was the Atari 2600 and 5200 versions. Well, those were prototypes. I actually do have the 5200 prototype. And it's pretty awesome. We play it with the trackball. And then there was an Atari Greatest Hits version. There was also Superior Software for the BBC Micro and Acorn Electron, and one by Electric Dreams for the ZX Spectrum and Amstrad CPC. There's also been Windows versions and, you know, different versions of PlayStation, Saturn, Super Nintendo, all kinds of different versions on it. So basically, you can find Tempest anywhere, but play TXK because it's really good. And Sony was kind of being dickish about wanting to sue the guy. So whatever.
I don't think that was Sony, dear. I think that
not
was
Sony.
Atari.
Yes. Yeah. Whatever. And Tempest was actually featured in a Rush video. Subdivisions.
Get out. Yep. That's awesome.
And as we know, Rush is Canada's best export.
That just made like an awesome game, like 1.5 times as awesome.
Right. So that's your game. Tempest. Play it.
Right now.
Play TXK.
On all the things.
TXK.
There it is. Your classic game of the week, Tempest. Originally in the arcade, but ported to everything in the 1980s.
Everything.
It's very great to have Jamie on the show. Thanks to Radio Magic. So we'll see her back next week for whatever next week's Classic Game of the Week might be. Meanwhile, we had a birthday this past week, actually just a couple days ago, which we just passed 9-9, which not only was the day for what, a new Lady Gaga single and a Bastille album, I think, came out on that
no
day.
No way!
Yeah, but it was also Dreamcast Day, right?
Oh, that's right!
9-9-99 was the big day the Dreamcast came out, in the U.S. anyway. So a happy belated birthday to the Dreamcast. That would be 17 years ago. Luna, any Dreamcast memories from you, Gabe?
Oh my goodness!
We see, I feel like we get into Dreamcast memories every year around this time. But what about you, Gabe?
I'll be honest. I only played the Dreamcast a little bit. There were, I think, this is probably not the game people would expect, but Soul Calibur. When I played Soul Calibur the first time and I heard the orchestrated music, I fell in love with that. I was like, oh my God, how is this playing such gorgeous? Because I was, you know, N64. I was playing Nintendo 64 and I was still so used to music made in MIDI. And then to hear fight music being played with actual full CD orchestrated sound, I was like, what is this? And I lost my mind. And yeah, that. Yeah. And then Virtua Fighter 2, and then or even 3 on there. I don't remember. But yeah, between those two games, yeah. And there was an import game on the Dreamcast that was partially inspired for Kinship, but I Border Down is what it's called. But it never came to the States. It was for the Dreamcast, called Border Down. And God, if someone has that game.
For me, the big one's going to forever and always be Phantasy Star Online. That just blew my mind to have that type of experience on consoles. I mean, you know, we were kind of introduced to, you know, the MMO experience a little bit on PC with what Ultima Online and so forth. But just, you know, to have that on which, you know, some argue if PSO was really an MMO or not. But, you know, at the end of the day, the point is that it was definitely something, you know, a game that you could just kind of drop in at any time with other people and experience together. I mean, it was just, it was so different for the time. And that's like why I had to have a Dreamcast.
Big social experiment. And then, yeah, that game, I cannot believe I forgot about that game. So, yeah, my bad to the PSO fans. But, yeah, that was a wonderful game for its time. Absolutely.
You know, we mentioned the Dreamcast anniversary on our social media pages earlier this week. Of course, you can always follow us on Facebook over at facebook.com/Orange Lounge Radio. But you can also follow us on Google+, google.com/+Orange Lounge Radio. And actually, over on Google+, ActDev did mention this week, I still own one. But I don't know if it still works, but I do have fond memories of it and the games it has. I remember completing Crazy Taxi.
Yeah.
Of course. Like, just a mainstay game. The first game I got for it, it took me a lot to do it, but I managed to. I also remember playing lots of fighting games with friends. Lots of fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah, wasn't Capcom SNK2 on Dreamcast?
Yes, it was.
So fucking good.
God, what a great game.
Seriously.
Good Lord. Wonderful.
Over on Facebook, Raginator, I think this is, says that I never bought a Dreamcast, something that I regret to this day. I do, however, have the Dreamcast collection, Nights into Dreams, Jet Set Radio, all that stuff on Steam.
Nights.
I wish there was more retro Sega stuff on Steam, like Mr. Bones and the Panzer Dragoon games. I've always wanted to play those. Hunter R said, I went through two different Dreamcast consoles after dropping my original gray console, thereby ruining the DVD drive on the console. I got the black Sega Sports Edition of the Dreamcast. Remember, they used to make the. There was a Hello Kitty Dreamcast at one point.
Oh,
there,
don't tell that to Brianna. That's
Brie. There's Brie. A Hello Kitty Dreamcast out there. It's probably on eBay. Go quick.
Oh, she's all about that.
No, wow. It was awesome. I remember I saw that in like Japantown in LA once or something, and I was like, it's cute. Did that whole thing. It was
awesome.
It was awesome. Long nights playing Power Stone. That was Loki's game, right? Power Stone?
Yeah, Power Stone's pretty awesome.
Man, I wish that's something that would come back.
And Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, of course.
Oh, yeah. Good memories. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's hard to kind of pinpoint, like, you know, we have all these fond memories of the Dreamcast, yet it sure doesn't seem like it lasted very long, you know?
It did not, and it's unfortunate because I think that was a console way ahead of itself.
Yeah.
And what I think it fell during this massive transition between, because it came out, because it was in between like the N64 and the PS2 at that point, I think, when the PS2 was coming out. And because of the impact the first PlayStation made on everybody, yeah, I think it was too little too late for Sega, which is very, very unfortunate.
Bob C in our chat says Tekken was never on Dreamcast, but didn't they have that tricky, like, wasn't, okay, speaking Bleem. Of like software, yeah, there's Bleemcast, right, where you could,
yeah,
you actually did put Tekken. It was this weird thing, and like, you know, we were joking about the Windows Phone and the emulators earlier, but it's like a lot of that stuff was going on Dreamcast with
absolutely.
The Bleemcast. And then like one reason I got a Dreamcast when it was only like $40, I mean obviously there was PSO and all that stuff, you could just like burn a disc with a Nintendo emulator on Dreamcast, and it worked for the most part.
Weird that a Dreamcast is capable of playing PlayStation 1 games. Oh, but a PlayStation 4.
All right.
I'm sorry.
Simmer here we down. Go.
Simmer down. Jesus.
And all you right. see Bree freaked out. We told her. She's like, show me. So, yeah. See? She's freaking out already. But, yeah. you're right about it. Yeah, you mentioned, yeah, not Tekken, but, yeah. That's why I said Soul Calibur. Never mind.
That's okay. That's okay. All right. That's why the chatters are here live to set us straight.
Yeah.
Gosh, it's that instant feedback.
Yes.
Be careful what you wish for. When you want feedback, you get instant feedback with the live chat.
Thank you, chatters. I love you very much.
All right, let's do some rapid fire news, Loki.
All right. So, Bloodstained, that awesome Castlevania Igarashi game. It's been delayed, sadly. you're going to have to wait until 2018 to play it.
Man, what a fucking shock. I'm going to die from that surprise. And I backed the game. I did.
I did, too. I backed I was a huge backer of that. Well, it looks like it would be Mighty Number 10. All right.
You know what?
No.
The
demo already plays better than Mighty Number 9.
I'm just half kidding.
If it's good... Let it simmer.
Oh, definitely.
Let it cook.
Take your time.
Make sure there's an internal temperature of 160 degrees or higher. And it's safe to consume.
Baste it well.
I'm fine with waiting a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine.
Definitely.
Yeah. Oculus had this animated 3D like viewing experience called Henry, and they won an Emmy for it.
No kidding.
Yep. That's great. So that's pretty awesome. Best Original Interactive Program.
Nice.
Congratulations. Breaking news. Do you know who else won an Emmy today? RuPaul won the Emmy for Best Reality TV Show Host.
That's fantastic.
Work. So excited.
Cover girl.
Now the question is, did Stranger Things win any Emmys?
I don't think it was nominated because I think it's too early.
Yeah,
I think it came out too after the like cutoff or whatever.
Oh, that's too bad.
I think it'll be next year when it's eligible.
Yeah.
So
how about
it could get Globes though? I suppose.
How about Kimmy Schmidt?
I don't know if it was nominated. I feel like Titus had to get nominated again.
I think so. Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't follow the Emmys that closely. You know why? Because I do a show on Sunday nights that keeps me from watching all that other crap.
Rock
that's on.
TV. Fight the machine.
All right. moving on to other rapid fire stories. Bree, pay attention. It's Hello Kitty. Hello Kitty is coming to Animal Crossing New Leaf.
What?
Yeah, that's right. Hello Kitty. Well,
No. Simmer your expectations. It's just
in Japan anyway. So the Hello Kitty characters will be on themed items that are coming to the game. There's furniture that's going to be unlocked using Sanrio Amiibo cards. Going on sale in Japan November 3rd. I kind of have to fucking have them. Like, I just do.
Yeah, she doesn't need a reason to go to Japan.
I just
That's going to be a reason for her to go
okay,
back to Japan.
Okay, now, if she's going to go to Japan to get some fucking cards, that's hard, more hardcore than
that's
me.
That's her homeland anyway.
I just bat my eyelashes if my dear friend Akuma will help me out. Or I think Amazon Japan did that thing a while ago where now they will ship over here directly.
Yes, they will.
For
yes,
the
they
video
will.
Game stuff.
So Japan and China.
Yep. Yeah, so it's, you know, you don't have to worry about that as much anymore. Anyway, there was a Animal Crossing Nintendo Direct that has a little bit more on this, so that's
cool.
Pretty cool. Also, a PlayStation 4 Arcade Archives is growing. You know, these games don't get featured a lot, but essentially arcade ports of classic games such as Gradius 2, I think was one I did a live stream of not that long ago. Mm-hmm. You know, there's actually a growing library of really kind of like because none of the games out I can think of off the top of my head anywhere are like huge releases, but a lot of like really kind of like under the radar stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, some of these releases are going to get pretty big because one of the games that's actually coming out for PlayStation 4 very soon, I guess Bubble Bobble's coming out soon if it's not already.
Oh, I used to love that game. Yeah. Yes.
That's a big deal. Might already be out. I missed it. I have to go back and look. The Bubble Legend Bobble. Of Kage was in that list as well.
Definitely.
But this is huge. Haunted Castle is coming. Now, you might not know that from the name. That is the arcade version of Castlevania. So when you see Haunted Castle on PlayStation 4, that's fucking Castlevania on the PlayStation 4.
Damn.
That's going to be pretty awesome. That's also going to join some other releases. Thunder Cross, Terra Force, Arc Area, Mutant Knight. You know, again, not a bunch of like... You know, huge titles in name.
Did you say Thunder Cross?
Could we possibly get like a Silent Hill game called like Misty Spooky Town or something like that? Then, you know, it's basically like the arcade version of Silent Hill.
Oh, Kaijudo in chat over at live.vognetwork.com asks, I love Bubble Bobble, but do we really need it on PlayStation 4? As long as the boss will spawn on level 30, yes.
That was a long time ago on the end. Yeah,
I feel like I need one of those flow charts. Do we need Bubble Bobble on this console? Next thing. Does the boss spawn on level 30?
Yes.
No. if the answer is no, we don't. Yes, of course we do.
Of course we do.
I need like one of those level. I need to fire up Vizio. Give myself a little flow chart there. All right, let's travel around the world and check out some release dates of some games coming out in a country near you, starting with the U.S.
All right, so we're getting a little bit busier. So we've got Bioshock the Collection coming out this week on PC, PlayStation 4, Xbox One. Remember, PC, you don't have to really buy it if you already own it, so it's all good, free upgrade. Dead Rising coming out on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. That's the remastered version of that. Dead Rising 2 also coming out as well, PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. And the Dead Rising Triple Pack coming out on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, which makes me wonder, why isn't the Dead Rising off the record not by itself? I thought that was the second one that was in there for that.
No, off the record was the expansion of 2.
Right, that's what...
But it wasn't a standalone, though.
Yeah, Off the Record was standalone. Off the Record was the alternate Dead Rising 2 where you played Frank instead of
It was an alternate?
The main character.
I thought it was an expansion.
No, it was an alternate because the Dead Rising 2, you played a different dude.
Right, but Off the Record showed what happened to Frank after part 1.
No, because the whole premise was like, here's how I would have done it. And that's basically the game.
Interesting, yeah. Okay.
So, but yeah, those will be coming out this week. My Q, Labyrinth of Death on Vita, Mystery Chronicle One Way Heroics on PC, NASCAR Heat Evolution on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One, NHL 17 on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, Pac-Man Championship Edition 2 on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One, and holy shit, it's a Konami game! Pro Evolution Soccer 2017, PC, PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, Xbox 360, and Xbox One. Psycho Pass, Mandatory Happiness on PlayStation 4 and
what?
PlayStation Vita.
Wait, Mandatory Happiness.
Mandatory happiness.
That's what I want. That's what I want on this show. That's what I want from Loki. Mandatory Happiness. I feel like there should be an episode of OLR where like it's like Loki has to be like it's mandatory happiness for Loki, and we're just gonna throw fucking everything at him. Every Apple story I've got, every Nintendo story,
and
I've got.
And I have to be positive.
About
it.
You have to be positive. We have to call it the Happy Loki.
Yeah, he has to say something nice. He has to say something nice
for 15 minutes. We have to totally do it.
I'm gonna do it when his kid's here.
I can do it for the whole show. Hey, yeah, we can speak to which.
Yeah, we never did it. We
need to do that.
Gotta plan that.
Okay. Anyways,
they're all yelling at me in chat to do it on episode 666.
That would be evil.
It would be evil.
And then let's see. We've got ReCore coming out this week on Windows 10 and Xbox One exclusive. Rive on PC and PlayStation 4. The Witness on Xbox One. Avedon 3, The Warborn on PC and Mac. And Konga Master on PC. Persona 5, PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4.
Just a small little game.
Just a small, yeah.
Some little underground title.
This is kind of a cool title. Diaries of a Spaceport Janitor. I'm wondering if that's like that Visceral Cleanup game or whatever. That's going to be coming out on PC. Dragon Quest VII, Fragments of the Forgotten Past on 3DS.
Christ, this is a big week.
And finally, that's it.
I want that fucking Dragon Quest game, too, and I kind of want Persona. Oh, my God, it's a busy week.
Yeah, it is. Whew.
All right, let's go over to Japan. It's a busy week there, too, in Japan. The BioShock collection makes its way to Japan. The new PlayStation 4 slim version is out in Japan this week on the 15th as well. And Persona 5 in a regular 20th anniversary edition and accessory set. All of that hits Japan as well on the 15th. Very busy week in Japan. World Soccer winning 11 as well in Japan this week. So it looks like Japan kind of mirrors us a little bit this week on the PlayStation 4. Sadly, the only release on the Wii U this week is Terraria, but you know things on the Wii U are kind of dying down a little bit. On the PlayStation
Which
Vita,
begs the question, they haven't gotten Terraria yet?
Not in a retail release.
I was going to say, damn, that's delayed.
PlayStation Vita still kicking over there with Haitaka no Psychedelica comes out in a limited edition in Japan this week, and Yunohana Spring Cherishing Time also out in Japan this week. Lastly, on the 3DS this week, there's a brand new 2DS in both lavender and pink and red and blue. There's lots of new 2DS colors out this week. But you can also get a price reduction on Zelda no Densetsu Toki no Ocarina 3D, which, of course, is the Ocarina of Time 3D in Japan with a price reduction there. And Cho Sentochu Kyokyu no Shinobu to Battle Player Choju Kessen comes out this week. Battle for Money is what that translates to loosely there. So that is out on the 3DS this week. So that's what's in Japan. With Dark Soccer being absent from the show for a little while, Loki's going to step in and take a trip over to Europe for us with the UK dates.
Okay.
Because he saw the show roll, right?
I guess I will.
Okay.
I guess I will if you're making me. So in the UK, let's see what we got coming out. XCOM 2 on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Police Tactics Impero on PC. And let's see. Oh, actually, I'm sorry. That was the 7th. So that was last week. This week, ReCore on PC and Xbox One. Pro Evolution also coming out over there as well on Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. BioShock the Collection on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. And that's it.
Now, the chatters are actually saying, there's a couple of people in chat saying this, that Persona 5 is actually not out here in the States this week, Loki. Your list may be wrong, because apparently it's out in Japan this week. That part was correct, but it was actually delayed for the rest of the world until February. Several people saying
are
that in chat.
Are you telling me that Wikipedia is incorrect?
Apparently.
I don't believe you.
Which is funny, because even I'm looking at another Wikipedia page that says that it's out worldwide on Valentine's Day.
It'll be out multiple weeks if it has to, okay?
It probably.
And listen, I am like a weatherman. I'm telling you what the weather's going to be like, and then it will be like something it decides.
You know what? It probably still made your list because there's that many people that are planning on importing it this week over on this side, honestly. But just want to clarify
it'll
that.
It'll be out in a secret location that you have no access to. It's still coming out, though. That list is 100% accurate.
Let's get to our emails. Every week, you guys email us, participate at orangeloungeradio.com, and we read some of our favorite emails here on the show and respond to them if appropriate. So we have two emails this week.
Is this appropriate, for these emails?
Or do you not know yet? Yes. Well, I've just given them the once-over, meaning I opened them up to make sure they didn't say, fuck you, you fucking fuck, or
But that could have been from Loki, though.
That could have been from Loki. Or I'd had to make sure it wasn't something that said, like, buy Viagra cheap. You know, that type of thing.
We need to talk about that. Get Viagra has a sponsor, F-O-L-R.
No!
Just kidding.
All right, anyway. All right, but we do have some fabulous emails from listeners this week, starting with Andy R., who starts us off this week saying, I'm sure you're already sick of talking about it this late in the podcast, but after replying to the Facebook post, I was musing more about the PlayStation 4 Pro and felt like emailing with some more thoughts. Mainly because I was watching a video gamer, Eurogamer put up, a video that Eurogamer put up about the event. One guy talking had been to the event, and the other, like most of us, only saw what was streamed. The guy who only saw the stream was very much in line with the internet consensus, namely the I don't see the point or I don't see a huge change sentiment that is going around. Interestingly, though, the guy who had been at the event seemed fairly impressed with what Sony had managed to coax out of a $400 box, which got me to thinking. This reminds me a lot of VR. In general, it seems like the people I talk to about VR tend to fall into two camps. Ones who have tried it and think it is cool, or ones that haven't tried it and don't see what the hubbaloo is about. In the case of PS4 Pro, watching footage of a 4K HDR game on a stream probably doesn't do justice, much like not having actually tried a VR headset. I know I personally streamed the PS4P meeting on my phone over a cell signal, which clearly wouldn't hold a candle to the kind of TVs the Pro is designed for. Like VR, Sony has probably got an uphill battle convincing people that this is the thing they need, especially since this one requires not only the box itself, but a TV capable of really taking advantage of the box. Maybe they're banking on people who don't have the TV yet future-proofing and just going for the Pro anyway. At least we've seen that PlayStation 4s will fly off the shelves at $399 in the past, so getting it to that price point was a smart move. Anyway, just a few thoughts for the conversation. This holiday is going to be pretty interesting, I imagine. That email again from Andy R. That is a very good point. I really like the comparison about that, you know, VR can be a hard sell until you've tried it. So considering that very few of us probably watched the PlayStation Pro thing on a 4K TV, maybe we are not really seeing the message. Whereas the people that were there, well, I'm sure Sony had 4K projection in that room taken care of, so people were very happy with what they saw, I'm sure. So very interesting perspective.
Although that being said, that fantastic demo that they had of Horizon Zero Dawn or whatever that is looked awesome. That was awesome. Shadow of the Colossus. Yeah. Awesome.
It did look awesome. So this tells me that Sony now needs to get PlayStation 4 Pros running on 4K TVs in every Best Buy around the nation, because that's really the best
way
to be able to show up.
All I need to hear is, hey, Grand Theft Auto 5 is going to be one of those supported, you know, higher resolution games.
Is that really? Would that really do it for you?
No, it wouldn't.
What about The Last of Us?
I haven't played The Last of Us.
Well, because they're doing it with The Last of Us. They're adding 4K textures for Last of Us. Why not?
See, for me, but Mass Effect, you know, that's kind of my version of Loki's Grand Theft Auto. You know, that seeing that as part of it does kind of make me go, maybe I do need a Pro. Maybe I do need to future-proof. But maybe I am a little worried that by the time I get a 4K TV, Sony will have another console in 3 years. That's where I'm starting to worry.
Well, that sounds like it, because if the 10-year cycle is what it's supposed to be, we're not even halfway there, and you're giving me a new console. Yeah. You're giving me an upgraded console, so...
Speaking of Grand Theft Auto 5, So how much Grand Theft Auto 5 have you?
To be fair, not a lot. It's one of those things that I think about playing it, and then, ooh, shiny, I get distracted by something else. You know how it goes.
I do.
You know how it goes. All right. One more email this week from Dark Tetsuya, who says, hey, OLR, I thought I'd write you guys about a neat new indie film that came out while you guys were on break. It's called The Outrunners. So basically the plot is our hero Eli was visiting the arcade with his friend one day and got to talking to a girl, but the resident bully and his gang caught wind of it and challenged him to a high-stakes race in Sega's The Outrunners. Winner stays, loser leaves the arcade for good. It's a pretty neat film if you enjoy classic arcades and the racing games they had back in the 90s, because this sounds like a plot out of the 90s, to be quite honest. But anyway. There's even some subtle nods to anime like Initial D, like they actually use some of the music in the end racing scenes. And Eli's car is the same car that the star of the Initial D drives. The director told me on Facebook that Initial D was one of his favorite anime. The film is available for free on YouTube, and be sure to check them out on Facebook as well. The gaming blogs haven't really said a lot about this, but I thought if I sent you guys an email, I could get more people to check this out. You're right. The dozens and dozens of people that listen to OLR will hopefully check this out. So thank you for the heads up there. That is, again, called The Outrunners. Well, hey, I like old Sega 90 game. Let me ask this, since it is an ode to 90s racing game classics, will we get to hear in this movie the do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is that what plays? Is the, you know, 20th Century Fox logo comes? Well, I guess not, because it's not a 20th Century Fox
Daytona
movie. But, you know, that's what you'd expect, right?
All I need to hear.
Daytona!
Hell yeah.
Heck yeah. All right. Anyway, those were...
Man, that would be a fantastic game for the remake.
What,
seriously.
Daytona?
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. All right. There it is. Your emails. participate@orangeloungeradio.com if you want to send us an email for consideration in a future week. All right.
Remake Daytona. Remake Daytona.
They did on the 360.
Well, that was...
And it was gorgeous.
It wasn't remade.
Was it fucking 4K? Because 4K is where it's at, Dave.
720p. But it's
special thanks, 4K.
It was just like... It was... No, those are just the HD versions of, like, the Dreamcast games or whatever they had, or Saturn games.
No, but they, like, redid that from the ground up, and they added a couple new things, too. It was great game. If you want the HD remake, play the 360 version. It was good. That's... I mean, that's the best I can give you. I can't give you much else. So, can't please you, clearly. So, it's all good.
All right. SS2100 Matt posting a link there in our chat room, by the way. So, cool. Some folks, I'm sure, will be watching that after the show. Or is Loki trying to watch it during the show?
I'm not watching
no, not
it.
Yet.
Oh, yeah. I thought that's what Gabe was peering over and looking out over there.
No, I'm looking at the chat room. Someone said, would a new EDF in 4K, would that do it?
There would be no frame rate. There would be no frame rate. Those games are so horribly optimized. It would just be like, it's just like nothing. In fact, at the very least, PlayStation 4 Pro would maybe bring it up to like 20 frames per second. I mean, I don't know. It's just...
The 4.1 it was way better than the 360. It was way better than the PS3 version, because the PS3 version, the 2025, was terrible.
Whoa.
So that had frame rate issues from the...
I like 2025 part of the way. It just, I don't know. It's not the same.
I got you. I hear you.
It was its own thing, I guess. But it was nice to have the co-op and stuff. I just haven't played co-op.
Hell yeah.
All right, let's get back into some other gaming news. Sorry. Loki. That's fine.
Just reminiscing.
We're such nerds.
Anyways, so speaking of, you know, this, every PlayStation 4, this is kind of a neat little thing they throw in there. So you don't have to buy a new system to get that wonderful HDR, so be able to support the wider range of color and everything. The pictures will kind of pop more. That's coming in a free update. So if you already have a PlayStation 4, you can enjoy that right away, assuming they have a TV new enough to actually take advantage of that, which I don't.
We face this technical issue, and I almost begin to wonder if, like, that's the mentality now with these bigger game companies.
I mean, honestly, though, it's been a long time since I had a TV. I got this TV, actually, thankfully, it was a promo thing from Sony, ironically enough. It's a Sony HDTV, but they gave that to like all of the employees of the company I worked for, and so I had a nice new HDTV from that. And at the time, it was like, you know, cutting edge, but now it's pretty old. So right. I mean, I could use a new TV. It's just, but justifying buying a new one,
right? But my concern is a new console no longer enough? Like, do we have to have, you got to have them, you know, a very powerful TV, and here's what we can provide too, because, you know, now you're costing me not just $400 or $500 to enjoy a new gaming experience. Now I got to pay $1,000, essentially, you know.
And on top of that, like, why should I be dropping money on a new TV and a new system and VR and all this stuff for Sony when, you know, they can't even get, like, mod support working and stuff, something that was promised to people like a long time ago.
Well, that's ultimately
just
my point.
Invest
because,
in a PC instead. I mean,
right? Because even the original PS4 was supposed to do 4K, and when and that just disappeared into the nothing.
The menus are 4K.
Right? But and that, again, that's a whole other thing. I appreciate the fact that these newer consoles, and I said this earlier, that you're okay, fine. You're going to be able to display, you know, show off 4K and things like that. But how many? I can't wait to see how few developers actually utilize that. That's going to be the best part. So anyway, I digress.
So, I mean, if my TV doesn't really support this thing, then this patch does nothing for me? Or will I get to see some subtle differences or what?
No.
Brighter blues and reds. That's about it.
Because I bought my TV's pretty fucking nice, I think. Mm-hmm. It's a 2014 model, apparently.
Maybe
and
it
so
supports
it. Doesn't have
it.
This. I looked on the Amazon thing, and because I actually went back and looked at the TV I bought on Amazon. which it's just an interesting side story. I was going to buy the TV at Sears, and it was on the display for and everything, and then they told me, like, we don't have it. Like, type of thing. Like, they didn't. They
want, right,
they wanted me to go to another Sears on the other end of town. I was like, okay, I'll head over
there
now.
But the TV you're looking for is at another Sears.
Yeah, it's in another castle, right? So I came home and I bought it on Amazon, like anybody else would have done.
Hell
it.
Yeah.
It's like, why are department stores dying?
Or just go to Best Buy and have them price match Amazon.
Yeah, I guess I could have done that. But anyway, it doesn't matter because I got a fucking TV like 2 years ago. No, last year, and it's a 2-year-old model. But apparently, yeah, it doesn't do. But it does do 3D. Blu-rays and all that stuff.
Oh, which goody, goody.
I have like two movies I can watch in 3D. Tron's one of them. So,
do you have the glasses for it?
I do, but fuck if they ever seem to work. I tried to use them not that long ago and I was like, these don't even really work. Whatever.
That's what I mean right there. Like, that's what I mean. You know, the other thing Sony pushed so hard on 3D.
Yeah, right?
Look how well that worked out.
Boy, oh boy. Anyhow, well, I still, you know, I'm excited for the update to see if it'll do anything for me. But, God, again, my TV is not that old.
Well,
and it doesn't support any of this.
Well, the 4K screens are pretty nice. I mean, just even watching the little demos walking through Best Buy and stuff like that, it's like, damn, that's a nice clear picture. But it's just like, damn, is that going to be the same nice clear picture when I stream it through Netflix on this crappy boxy they have?
Nope.
I'm going to need like a nicer new platform to be able to stream in 4K and a nicer new internet provider that's going to be able to handle that bandwidth, but
not Comcast.
All right. Well, another big birthday that happened this week was the 50th anniversary of Star Trek. And how appropriate that just this past week, Star Trek Online has come out for consoles. Star Trek Online, what came out? I want to say January 2012 when free to play. Like, I think it actually been out as a pay game maybe a year or two before that, and then it was free to play in 2012. Well, now it is out on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, so it took a little while for it to come out, but what a good way to get an older MMO some new attention by being right there for download on the consoles. DC Universe Online kind of did this same type of thing a while ago as well. So anyhow, Star Trek Online is now available, and I think the audience over there seems to be growing a little bit. Probably these console releases are helping, so now might be a good time to check that out. Mm-hmm. So, what's cool is that they actually have some of the cast from the movies. It's like voiceover help.
Oh,
and
really?
Stuff. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's pretty cool.
Good.
I want to say, I may be wrong, I don't want to step out of line, but I want to say they were able to get Leonard Nimoy in the game before he had passed.
Really?
Well, because, this game's been out since, 2010? So I want to say he was in it, and they had, at one point, Zachary Quinto was in it, too, because he was Spock in the new movies. I think he was in the game when it first came out as well. So, yeah. Kaijudo in chat says, did they make the game better? Because on PC, it blows. And Fifth Dream confirms, yes, Nimoy is in the intro in the first 5 minutes. So that's pretty cool. It might be worth checking out all on its own. I'm curious if any of our friends from the Starboard Power Coupling check that out on consoles, because I know some of them play Star Trek Online. I don't know if they went and checked it out on consoles, though.
Okay.
So let's move on. Loki.
So this is kind of cool. There was a slight tease, or possibly leaked tease, that Earth Defense Force 5 might be a thing. Apparently, this was coming from they had a countdown teaser, actually, on the D3 publisher site. And I want to say that this also leaked out from like another publication that it was out there. It'd be interesting to check it out. The moon.
Hell yeah. EDF-5, baby.
Oh, boy.
Save our mother.
You
going to
pick this one up when it comes
out?
Of course you are.
Of course I am.
All right, sounds like you and Gabe will have something to play together there, because Gabe's definitely a fan as well.
Oh my God, that game just warms my soul so much destruction.
And it beats you down because it's so goddamn hard.
All right, we are going to open up the Skype line, you guys. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. If you want to give us a call and talk about anything that we've talked about tonight, maybe you want to ask Gabe a question, or anything else that might be on your mind, you can go ahead and give us a call. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. While we wait for some calls to come in, Gabe, let me ask you about this.
Sure.
Locally with Sacramento and development and all that. I know we had talked about earlier in the show, we mentioned that Sacramento can be seen by those in other areas as kind of like, not as lucrative of an area or whatever, which seems a little silly to me because it seems like, you know, we're growing a little bit with our, even our AAA game development, right? Which, you know, I forget what they were called back in the day. What, Click Play or Click and Play or something?
Click Nation.
That's it. They grew into now Capital Games, EA Capital Games, which I believe based on one of the trailers they showed recently, they're doing work with the Star Wars mobile development, right?
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
So that's pretty cool. Do we know of any other like big studios that are establishing a presence here locally?
I know. So on the indie side, you've got Skirmish, who just recently got a little office. So I think somewhere in Rancho or Sacramento or something like that. I want to, somewhere nearby for here, I think. I know the other big one, Fifth Planet Games. They're up in Rockland. They were in Roseville. They moved up to Rockland. They've trimmed down a little bit on the size of their studio, but they're still a pretty significant size studio. Fifth Planet Games, and big shout out to Rob, Rob Winkler. He was one of our speakers for the first Indie Arcade. But yeah, their Fifth Planet is definitely one of the other well-known studios with their oh my goodness, I can't even think of their freaking game name right now. But yep, you can find them on Newgrounds and so on and so forth. But so there's a few, but we definitely need more. I wish we connected with EA because, you know, that would have been great to establish something with them more, but we'll see.
All right, we'll see. Well, in the meantime, let's get to the phones because they are ringing. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Kaijudo.
Hey, Kaijudo, what's on your mind, buddy?
What up?
Not much. I got some game recommendations for you.
Awesome.
All right, first off, I just want to say that I've been playing the Rumble. What is it? Rumble and the Rocket League. That thing is great. I don't know if you guys try that. But
I haven't. I've heard about Rocket League. They have really done a great job just continuing moving that game forward ever since its original release. I need to check that out.
Yep, but there is some trouble in paradise with that game because now the fans are pissed off because they decided to go with the whole you got unlockables, but you have a crate that you have to open, and you have to buy keys to open that crate.
It's the whole lot.
Fans are pissed off because, you know, they're claiming that they need the money because they want to make it into an eSport, but fans are not buying that. They are. They're like pissed off, so... Yeah, there's some real Rocket League hate going on right now.
A lot of fans got that free from PlayStation Plus, but then again, PlayStation Plus, not really free, so all right.
Nothing ever is.
Yeah, nothing ever is.
But my game recommendations, going to the Star Trek, the 50th anniversary thing, I found this game. I think it just came out like a couple of days ago. It's called Halcyon 6, and that game... It's so much fun. It's fantastic. You got to think of, you know, that game that came out for the tablet, Trexels. Remember that game?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a remake of some other game, Pixels or some crap.
Mm-hmm.
Well, think of that game as like Trexels, but a lot better. It has a story. There's humor in there. There's base building. You know, if you're the type of person, you know, you're all into that base building that they did with like XCOM and that type of stuff. They have that in there. They have away missions. You can send your away team out there to have battles. For all you Final Fantasy fans, it has like the whole like type of turn-based system that Final Fantasy kind of invented. You know, where it's, you know, you have your three party members, and then you fight like either three monsters or two monsters, whatever. They have that in there. It's all turn-based. It's a lot of fun. It's 2D. It's not 3D. But there aren't any type of like platforming or any of that type of crap. Like you don't have to like run and jump on stuff. You basically
sci-fi, which is why you're kind of tying this to Star Trek.
No, it's basically a Star Trek because you have your science officer, you have your captain, your communications officer. They have the different colored suits.
I see. Heavily inspired
it's
by
Star Trek.
Gotcha.
It's Star Trek.
All right. I gotcha. Okay, that's a good recommendation. Anything else?
Second game, this is on Steam, by the way. And the second game is A Matter of Murder, which I think is like $2.99, really, really affordable game. And if you love the game Clue, you're going to love this game because it's basically Clue. You know, it has
Clue.
Endless replayability because every time you play, you can generate a new mystery. And it plays just like Clue. You know, they have the mansion. You got to investigate. You got to find the weapon, find the suspect, find the motive. And then when you think you have... you know, all that together, then you go into the accusation phase, and then you have all the characters, they all come together in one room, and then you you have to retell what happened, like who committed the murder and why and all that stuff. And if you got it right, then you get rewarded for it. It's a really fun game. It has some really shitty art, but it makes it funny. Like they it looks like It looks like a 3-year-old kid drew the game, but that's part of the trauma. You know, like, I love it. You know, like, and the thing with the body is hilarious because, like, they don't show the entire body. Like, you just see, like, the feet.
Oh, of course, of course. The tasteful, the tasteful dead person. Yeah. Just the legs sticking out from under the carpet. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and the game makes fun of itself because, like, when you do the tutorial, I guess it's the maid or something. She's like, what are you freaking out about? It's just a body. That seems to happen a lot in this place. So let you know right along. You know, right away you're going to be solving nothing but murders. Just people being killed in that house.
So does it have like the board game element still where you like roll a die to move around or what?
There's no dice. It's just like you're just it's like almost like a point and click. Like you're clicking the characters. You're talking to them. But the writing is done so well that like you actually get involved. Like, you know, like they'll tell you stuff. Like if you ask a guy a question, they'll say, you know, like he's nervously stroking his mustache or whatever. You know, like to give you like little hints that he may be lying. You know, it's a really cool deductive game because what I found out is when I played the game, I was doing a tutorial and the guy was like, I was in the pool room with so and so. We were playing pool, so I went to the pool room. And there was a guy in there, and he confirmed his story that like his alibi was legit because they were both playing pool. But then you speak to another guy, and that person's like, "Yeah, I was playing pool too." And I'm like, "No, you weren't playing. You know, it was just these two guys in the room." So that's how I knew that they were the murderer. You know, just okay. Cool stuff like that.
I a lot like of deduction. That. All right, so Matter of Murder, I got to check that out on Steam. So $3. All right, very cool. Yep. I like your game recommendations, Kaijudo. You're usually pretty right on.
Yeah, thanks. All right. The one thing I'm right about.
Oh,
yeah.
Stop it. All right, Kaijudo, thanks for the call.
All right, later.
Have a good one. Bye.
Self-confidence, baby.
All right. We got the phones ringing, so let's get to another call. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, guys. It's Jason.
Hey, Jason. How you doing?
What up?
I am currently barreling down the east side of the Rockies. So,
which is why your voice was missed from the intro this evening, is you're in your car zooming down a mountain.
That is responsibly. I am hands-free. Both hands are on the wheel, I promise.
All right. Fair enough. What's on your mind?
Even if my car is magical enough that I technically don't have to, I still do have both hands on the wheel. you guys have brought up a couple of cons, con things and VR things, and so I just kind of wanted to chime in with my two cents of the last couple of weeks. While you were down at Dragon Con, I was quite literally in the opposite end of the U.S. at PAX West.
Other thing that happened over Labor Day. How was it?
The other 4 days of madness. This was my first West. As many of you know, it's been called Prime up until this year, and now they're calling it West for consistency between East, West, and South. My first West, my second PAX. I went to PAX South the start of this year. It was definitely a lot more hectic, but at the same time, a lot bigger, a lot more events. Still very social, largely to do with the fact of the more and more number of people I'm meeting in various communities, you know, Twitch spearheaded or not, but a number of those people are also involved with the games, with the larger gaming community business-wise, and so it just kind of steamrolls from there. The show floor itself was nice and big and very tiring. Everybody had their space. You see Twitch in their mammoth streaming center and partner center and all that. Intel, Blizzard, Tiny Build had a shockingly good presence considering they're up and up over the last couple of years. But a lot of familiar faces, but still a bunch of hidden gems in the Indie Mega Booth and Mega Box, I think it technically is, and then various other locations. Tying specifically to the show, there were two things that you guys have touched on that I wanted to bring up.
Sure.
I don't know exactly who the individuals are, but with the story about Interplay going under and selling off IPs, the founding members, the founding creators of Descent have already moved on from Interplay, right. And they were exhibiting their own game called Overload in VR at PAX West. I don't think it was ever really covered on the show before, but they had a Kickstarter, as one does. They're still offering pre-orders that count towards stretch goals, but they have very significant plans, a very great Vive-backed demonstration of what Overload is going to do, and it is 6 degrees of freedom, multiplayer, robot, zero gravity dogfighting. And I unfortunately didn't really feel like queuing up in the line, but watching it was absolutely spectacular, and I absolutely am looking forward to another Descent game as well.
Yeah, you're not the first one to say that logically those guys should be the ones that try to bid for that Descent IP. Whether they have the money to do so or not, we'll see. But it would make a lot of sense that they should probably try to make a play for it.
That would be quite a stretch goal. Fund our IP acquisition attempt.
Yeah. Right. Well, you never know. There might be a magical publisher out there who's willing to marry the two together. Like, we'll front the money for this if...
That would be one of the better stories, like one of the most monumental stories that I've heard in the last, decade, I guess. I don't know. If you guys want to look up more information, media and all that stuff, playoverload.com.
Very cool.
Plenty of media there to go up, screenshots, a little bit of gameplay video, demonstration of what it does in and out of VR, and then the common game's going to have multiplayer and epic robot battles and huge boss battles, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. VR more generally, prior to PAX West, I had only ever used Oculus Dev Kit 1. I didn't queue up at E3 for VR. I haven't seen a HoloLens, and I haven't bummed anybody nearby to see their Vive or anything of the sort. Up on the sixth floor, which is where a lot of indie, both publishers and developers, were exhibiting, there was a little corner for University of Washington, UW, I think it was, their game development program. I got talking to a couple of people because they just had a three-point shootout simulator game. And that was my first experience using the Vive. And Loki was talking earlier about how everything with a big name attached to is an experience. And so it's kind of less interesting. But this game, like I said, free throw or three-point shootout, I'm not quite sure where on the line it was. But it was a basketball simulator running Vive called Nothing But Net, or Nothing But Net, apostrophe. And it was... I hadn't actually like really paid attention to the controllers yet, but to extend those as your hands and use it for just simple ball grabbing, basketball grabbing, not that other kind, basketball grabbing.
Oh my! Wow!
Yeah. Oh my! Basketball grabbing, flick and release, and the world that they created, which was just a high school gym, fairly nondescript, but it still felt very good to be in it. It was a very limited demo. You just had 60 or 90 seconds to make shots, and but it was fun. It was cute. It reminded me, like both of you, possibly all three of you, have talked about like video game renaissance, and I have played basketball in real life. I played for a season in elementary school. Basketball has obviously been a part of American media forever, and I played some basketball games on and off. It's never been my primary sport, but it was still fun. When talking to the developers of this Nothing But Net game, I was talking to them about this very, very basic arcadey three-point shootout game for DOS called Three-Point Shootout, and to see the progression of gaming all over again, to take basic concepts to introduce developers, players, and everybody else to how these things actually work out in 3D, and finally being able to put full body motion into this kind of thing. It really tickled me in a really, really happy way. And that was definitely one of my underrated gems of the show that I just enjoyed. I just kind of hovered around, listened to conversations. I had a great conversation with the husband and wife development pair, talked about some of their plans, what they could do, gave them reference to prior art and plenty of things. The demo was just a single round of shots. They talked about a lot of other things like horse and multiplayer and MMO-esque simulation, because it is a gym with multiple hoops, and maybe even going on into like a 2-on-2 NBA Jam style thing, maybe. But it was fun. It was simple. It was conventional, and it hit all of the spots to be able to take a basic concept and apply it into the VR world in such a simple but excellent way.
So it sounds like you had a pretty successful PAX West. I guess it's no longer PAX Prime, huh? I heard that's because PAX East is the real PAX Prime at this point, but I won't go there. How are the panels? Did you go any panels, any of that stuff?
I did zero panels.
Wow.
I was incredibly line averse. So the guidebook was a map reference for me, and I just didn't pay attention to any of the panels, which is a little weird for me, I guess, sort of. But I don't know. I was there for the people. I was there for the people and friends first that I don't get to see in person nearly enough. And in between that, I made my own adventure across the show floor. Very quickly, I guess one of my other underrated ones that I haven't even been thinking about talking about for some stupid reason. If anybody knows the old Neo Geo game Windjammers, one of the multi-game arcade machines we saw in mini golf and bowling alleys and all those kinds of things. That game is coming back to PC and PS4 in the form of Disc Jam by people who also grew up with the game and loved it and are turning it into down Pong. Did I break up a little
bit? Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit, but you're back now.
Yeah. Disc Jam. Already in some gamers' hands, PC and PS4, Windjammers-esque with an updated look and feel, and that was quite a treat to be able to talk to other fans that finally did something with the game and moved into it, and yeah.
All right, very cool. All right, well, sounds like you had a good time. TwitchCon, are you doing that in a few weeks? Isn't that the same weekend as GamerX, right, I heard?
It is the last, it's like September 30th into the start of October, it whatever is. The end of the start of the month is.
Same weekend as GamerX, that's some unfortunate timing.
I should be doing TwitchCon, I am tentatively doing it. I wasn't supposed to be heading home, I was supposed to still be along the Pacific Coast, quite possibly in the studio next weekend, but I had a little home incident occur, so that's why I am currently barreling down the east side of the Rockies.
I hope everything's okay, so.
Yep.
All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and let you go, okay?
Sounds good. Have a good night.
All right. Thanks for calling. Take care.
Absolutely. Bye.
Drive safe. Bye. All right, Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. Looking quickly, some chat comments. Kaijuda says, OMG, Twitch has a con too. What do they all do, meet up on Skype and stream? No, I went last year, actually, because of Jason. Jason was like, I have an extra ticket. Are you sure you don't want to go? Because in San Francisco, it would be very easy for you to go. So I was like, sure, I'll go. I thought it was interesting. I left a little more motivated to do more streaming, which has been hit and miss. Some weeks I'm able to do a bunch lately. I probably haven't done one in a month just because, I am doing four podcasts on and off. So it's kind of like a lot of my creative energy time goes into that. So, all right, let's try to sneak in at least one more quick call here before we call tonight. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is ACDEF.
Hi, ACDEF. How are you?
Really great, really great.
What's on your mind?
I want to talk about the Super Mario Run announcement.
Yeah, what'd you think?
Well, basically, it's not something that necessarily is. Well, I had the idea in my head, and I kind of missed my train of thought, but. Basically, what they're trying to do, or I think what they're trying to do, is basically like cross promotion of some sort, because they're not. And this is something I was talking with other friends. They're not offering the full game right now. Even if you see like Super Mario Run as a full game, it kind of isn't, because it isn't like the full Super Mario experience, and. We can see it like in stuff like Super Mario Maker or New Super Mario Bros. And all that stuff. But something that was curious, and this relates also to Pokemon Go, that the 3DS sales went up, I think for July, and I don't think for August, so I don't know. But many people like pre-ordered in expectation of Pokemon Sun and Moon. So I'm trying to guess here that basically they did this not because they want part of the mobile market. Maybe that's something like secondary. But I think that they're trying to like promote their own stuff through other media. Don't know if that makes sense.
You know, that's something that I ActDev. This is Gabriel. Good to meet you, man. This is hey. This is something that I was mentioning earlier with my little, you know, speculation about the NX and me getting the impression that. That's what I think Nintendo's trying to do. I think them releasing this Mario game on iOS is a hint of what's coming for NX to an extent. That's just my impression of it. So I
really just need them to fucking reveal the NX already.
I know, it seriously. Yeah, we time. Yeah.
Tokyo Game Show is in 2 weeks. Uh-huh. I'm sick of the speculation and all this wank.
Yeah.
You know, I love that word. All this Twitter wank.
Yes.
And granted, we've been no help either. We have the wank and the tinfoil hats on this show as mm-hmm. well. I'm fucking sick of it. It's after Labor Day.
Yes.
No more white shoes and a goddamn NX announcement. Let's do it.
Hey, Act, can I ask? That's just in by the word of Rob. So now, Act, I'm going to ask you something really quick because you mentioned something that I found very intriguing. As a mobile, you play games on mobile. I take it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you feel that as a mobile gamer, the price that you pay, that do you feel it's fair to say that one should still expect the full game experience on mobile, or should it really just be, are you really just paying for something that's going to be a quick time consuming thing and then we move on? I mean, do you fully expect the full video game experience on a mobile? Should you expect that on a mobile phone?
I think we should expect something like that. It's not necessarily like exclusive to a console, or in this case, to a mobile game. But I think my point is, because we have seen runners in consoles. We have the BitTrip Runner. Series,
right,
like
right.
For example, maybe even Rayman. I don't consider it a runner, but they do have mobile versions that pretty much are runners.
Right.
But my point was more in the you don't get the full like experience, as in, oh, you only go right instead like going left too. You don't have full control over Mario in this case. Mm. Where in the console and in even a portable version of Mario, you have full control of what you can and what Mario does in the mm-hmm. game. Right. So I don't see like Super Mario Run like a bad thing at all.
Okay,
like, no, I don't see it like a bad thing either.
It seems interesting enough, but yeah, I don't think Nintendo is putting all their money into the mobile market, at least just yet.
Not.
And one point, it's exactly that it's the NX part point of this.
There's
got to
there's got to be a correlation somehow. And there was a comment in the chat that I just seen when they I didn't see who it was that mentioned, was the NX going to be running Android hardware? They were going to be using a processor chip that fuels Android, but not necessarily. That doesn't necessarily mean, you know, it's going to be an Android based thing. It's just the processor. I can't remember what it was called.
Similar parts, but not necessarily how they function.
Right, like a Tegra or something like that. It's like a Tegra processor.
It's like a new version. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
But for me, ActDeft, I think this is a way for Nintendo to be making money this holiday season when the Wii U is not going to be expected to really do anything. I think this is something Nintendo's under a lot of pressure to do. And I think, again, that's why you see them coming up with all these other creative ways to make money this holiday to keep their investors happy is, oh, we have the classic NES, which we know stands to do well. Oh, we have the Pokemon Go bracelet. Oh, we have, you know, the mobile venture. You know, we're going to put our biggest thing on mobile. So maybe this is why they bumped Mario up to this year, was to kind of show that they're going to still be productive through this holiday. So maybe even if the NX tanks, which, you know, I don't want to see that happen. I don't think any gaming
does.
Fan would want that, although I just want to know what the fuck it is already. I think, you know, Nintendo can show that they as a company could still stay afloat. no matter what.
Definitely.
So anyway, yeah. ACTEFT, I'm going to let you go so we can wrap up the show. But thanks for the call and for the insight.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, anytime. Take care, buddy. All right. That's going to do it for the Skype line tonight. But if you didn't get through tonight, do consider sending us an email for a future week. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com. All right. Now, before we wrap up the show and say our goodnights, we have to make sure that we get any residual angst out of our system so that we can successfully start a new week nice and fresh and on a clean slate. So we empty and reset our palates with a segment we call here the FUs of the Week. Loki, your FU's of the week.
I don't know. Just FU to myself for being 10 seconds too early. Yes,
there's,
I know how that sounds.
There's so many jokes I could make with
that.
Wow! But I'm going to be a nice person and not make them.
Yes.
All right.
Hey, 10 seconds too early is not a bad thing.
Well.
10 seconds.
Depends on the end goal, but
oh,
yes.
Oh, lordy lord. Gabe, do you have any FUs you need to get out of your system? Any special thanks you need to give tonight?
No, not necessarily. I pretty much let it out earlier. Yeah, no, I can't really think of anything right now. So just, thanks for everything, though, guys.
My FU of the week goes to fucking food poisoning. Okay, here's the fucking week I had. You ready for this? All right, so I get back from Dragon Con, which was awesome. No complaints there. So I get back, and of course I get sick from the plane or something, because Bobby's like, I'm not sick, and nobody else I know at Dragon Con was sick. So I got something on the plane or the airport or something. So I'm sick, and I'm like out of work. Tuesday and Wednesday. I usually take the day after anyway, just as like a recuperation day when I go to a big con, but I have to take like another day. I was like, you know how that kind of looks to your boss? I was like, I need one more day of vacation because, you know, luckily my boss is pretty understanding. She's great and everything, but it's just like when you still feel like an asshole doing it, you know, like the work is piling up and I'm not coming back to do it yet because so I go back to work on Thursday. I go to get lunch on Thursday and it makes me sick. Like stomach sick. Oh. I'll spare you the horror story, but it was not a pretty 24 hours.
Trust
so it's like
you.
I couldn't catch a fucking break last week. It's like, boy, are you enjoying that high of all that motivation and fun times you had at Dragon Con? Well, let me just punch you in the stomach, literally, so you could just knock that shit off.
Here's all your happiness in liquid form on the floor. Enjoy.
So anyway. FU to that. And FU to that grocery store I will not be buying lunch from again. FU to... that's what I get for getting a fucking salad. That's what I get for getting a fucking salad.
Uh-huh. Meat and potatoes all the way. Meat and potatoes for life.
You know what? I'm just going to be... I'm going to be fat and not have food poisoning. That's how it's going to be.
That's it.
From here on out. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Actually, quickly, I should check in with Loki for any last-minute stories. I forgot to do that earlier.
There's a remastering of Duke Nukem 3D. It's coming out, Duke Nukem World Tour. It's going to have also new levels.
Awesome.
Duke Nukem. Okay.
I mean,
it'll be, what, the fourth time I've bought a reimagining of Duke Nukem?
Yeah,
but
it's like, you can't really remaster the game too much. I mean, it's...
And clearly, they can't make a new one, so it might as well keep...
Yeah, they failed on making a brand new one.
Doing what works. All right. Well, that is going to bring us to the end of another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. And Gabe, I want to thank you for being here. You were a lot of fun tonight.
You guys,
always a pleasure to have you here on the show.
Same here. I'm not here enough. Seriously.
You're really
I really love being
come
here.
Come back again. You see, we have an empty chair there. So we're trying to fill the space with some more interviews and some other friendly faces here at OLR. So, you stop by anytime. Look forward to seeing what IGDA brings in 2017. I can't believe we're talking 2017, but shit, it's September. And before you know it, we're going to be saying the holidays are here. All right.
Hell yeah.
And MAGFest. You got to try and make that happen.
That'll
be so much fun if you could go.
Really going to try to do that.
Be awesome. I try want to get more involved, like panels and stuff this year. So I should probably pick your ear on how to make that happen.
Absolutely.
So awesome. Well, any final things you want to get out there for our listener base before we say goodnight?
For everyone that showed the support and the feedback tonight, thank you all so much. I cannot implore enough, please try our demo on Newgrounds. The game is coming out so soon. Any last minute feedback, suggestions? We really need it right now because it's just one other guy and myself making this game. And anything, I've done all I could to give any last minute updates to my coder. So he's making it happen. So please give our demo a try. If you're on Newgrounds already, leave some great feedback. Not saying 5-star review, but give something good, some good feedback. We really, really need it right now. Because essentially I am the marketing team. I don't have a marketing team. And so this first game is super, super
you
important.
You'd offer Bree some Benihana.
Oh my God, I want to go back there. Yes, that yes. In fact, if any great help, I will take you to Benihana. Just kidding. But completely kidding, as much as I love that place and as much as you probably are awesome. But yes, please play our demo. It's on Newgrounds.com. Just go on Newgrounds.com, type in Crumple on the search box, and you'll see it first and foremost. Please give it a shot and leave some good feedback. And follow us on Twitter. Let us know what you think as well, because like I said, we need all the help we can get. We're not doing a Kickstarter. We're doing this flat on our own, and that's the chance we're taking right now. So please, we need your help. We need your help getting the word out.
Best of luck to you with all that. Keep us in the loop here at OLR when the game's released so we can check it out, stream it, and all that good stuff. And don't forget to let me know about Tuesday because I'd love to come by.
Yes, yes.
Meaning to swing by Cafe Colonial. I'm always kind of wondering, are they still doing that thing Tuesday nights?
Oh, yeah, they are. They're still there. They got a really strong crowd. They're doing Smash Brothers in the back. Smash Brothers tourneys in the back and then everything else up front. So, yeah, if you're local nearby Cafe Colonial.
I need to show my face there more often and plug
should.
My show.
Seriously, yeah. Come on by. Yeah, come on by. Buy my Crumple burger. They named the burger after my game, so
that's
please.
Cute. Does it have paper crumpled up in it?
Did they put egg in it or something?
They do. It's a burger with a fried egg and cheese and lettuce and the whole works on it.
Lettuce tastes like paper, Loki.
Yeah.
I know it does. No one's really
so
upset.
Yeah, so stop by and say hi at the Cafe Colonial this Tuesday night. I'll probably be there early, like 4 o'clock, to get things rolling on Twitch. We're playing through the Xbox One for the BioShock collection. It's for Extra Life. So please come check us out. Stop by, say hi. And yeah, like I said, I'm going to try to beat BioShock One in one evening. I doubt it, but we'll see.
Some very kind words for you in chat, Gabe. Kaijudo saying Gabe should be third mic until Jamie comes back. Well, we got to share the love a little bit with some other folks we know, and you've got other things you got to do, but you definitely should come back. Even when Jamie's back, you should still be.
Definitely.
We will always make a fourth chair for you and a fifth chair for Bree if she would like to be here too.
Definitely. That means a lot. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. That means a lot. Thank you.
Most welcome. All right. Loki, my friend, that's it. We made it to the end of an episode here tonight. A longer episode, but a good one. Any final thoughts for our listeners tonight?
I'm just tired now.
Yeah?
I'm depressed.
Tired of eBay? Depressed. It'll be okay.
Happy birthday, though.
You know what? We have some awesome. Some listeners were saying we should. You know what? We should all put $25 in and help Loki get the damn DDR machine.
That's the thing. That's why it was such a disappointment, because those cabinets. Granted, it was slightly broken. I would have needed to fix up some stuff, but that's fine. Like, a new cabinet goes for over $1,000. It's like, yeah, that's why it stings so bad, because that's actually more cost effective to do it that way than it would have been to build pads. And I got build pads.
But now you're reminding me, like, oh, now that I'm not upgrading my phone this year, now that it looks like I'm probably not going to get the PlayStation 4 Pro, and I may not even get the VR at this point. We'll see. I'm kind of on the fence with that. Maybe this is the year Rob's finally going to get his cocktail cabinet, because I really kind of want one.
I was going to say, you practically have the money for that, for a cocktail cabinet now, if you don't get those two things.
Yeah, I know,
you've
right?
got the money for that now. Only if they get it on Amazon, you could pre-order it.
And then part of me is like, you should save that money to do responsible things like home buying. And
oh,
then I'm
come
like,
on. Who needs adulthood? We need cocktail tables. Come on, man.
I don't have kids.
Priorities.
Well, exactly.
What future?
He's already got a bar top that I built.
Oh, well, there you go. You're halfway there, man.
I know. All right. My final thought tonight. I can't think of an awful lot. I'm just gonna say I'm gonna try to play more Overwatch, which will make Alan very happy, because Alan plays a fucking ton of Overwatch. Like, I think it's like all he plays that, and then I'll see him playing No Man's Sky a little bit, and he's back to playing Overwatch. He plays a lot of fucking Overwatch, and he has like bro friends that he made playing Overwatch and everything that he gets on there, and he bro chats about how there's a Reaper back behind the thing. And I'm like, wow, he's like really, really good, and when I play with him I'm fucking terrible, so I need to up my game on Overwatch. So I might be working on that this week, or I might play Grand Theft Auto 5 to keep Loki happy. And after all, it is his birthday.
Yes.
I hope you had a good birthday, all things considered, Loki.
Indeed.
If not, maybe this week will be good too.
I have to go back to the call center in a few weeks, so that's not making me too happy.
Well, enjoy the few weeks that you don't don't have to be there. So
it's like, here's how frustrating it is. Yes, we would love to hire you for this department, but because of some corporate tree bullshit, we've got to not hire people, even though we desperately need people, because some higher up person thinks it's a good idea not to spend money.
Of course.
I'm like,
corporate America,
people.
Which is also what your wife says. It's a good idea not to spend money, right?
But she says that about everything. We could have like billions of dollars. She's like, don't spend any of it. It's like, I'm not going to do that.
All right. That's going to do it. Have a great week. Happy gaming, everybody. We will see you back here in 7 days. And by the way, I don't know how many of you longtime listeners noticed, we kind of mixed things up a little bit with our format and our layout tonight. So hopefully you guys enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate any feedback you guys have. A 5-star review goes a long way in a place like iTunes or Google Podcasts or wherever it is you heard this show. Tell a friend about the show. We are the show where every gamer has a voice, but not unless you help us by recruiting friends and folks to listen to the program, because we don't have $1 million website or advertising campaign.
Hell
or any
no,
stuff.
We still got to keep day jobs, people.
We are homegrown.
Help us help you.
So while we work on paying the bills over the next 7 days and playing some games, we'll be back to do it all again in 7 days. Good night, everybody. Bye.
Cheers, guys.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.